two tests because I got us live. I want to hear how we sound.
Hello and welcome into Jackson Field. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Adam Jackson. Today, the Lansing Lugnuts, High A affiliate of the Oakland A's, play the second game in a six-game homestand against the Cedar Rapids Colonels, High A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, sending right-hander Osvaldo Barrios, coming off his first quality start of the year, against Colonels right-hander Sawyer Gibson Long, drafted in the sixth round from Mercer in 2019. The Mercer
is a dog days of summer with dogs welcome to the ballpark. Last night, the Lugnuts defeated the Colonels 6-1. Jeff Criswell struck out 11 batters in 5 1/3 innings. Former Colonel Gabriel Maciel hustled out a go-ahead two-run triple. And Tyler Soderstrom and Lázaro Armenteros homered. All right, so here we are. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Adam Jaxa. And today, the Lansing Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels are playing. And it's so good to have you along here with us at the ballpark here today. The Lugnuts and the Colonels in action. We'll keep on turning things up. There's Adam's, there's mine. And I can keep on going hotter and hotter as we go. Coming your way from in between Cedar Street and Larch Street on Michigan Avenue in downtown Lansing. Well, let's see if the Lugnuts can win a second consecutive game here against one of the best teams, not only in the Midwest League, but in all of High A ball. The Minnesota Twins affiliates from Cedar Rapids coming to play today with a team ERA at an even 3.0. Hello and welcome to Jackson Field in downtown Lansing, a couple of blocks away from the state capitol. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Adam Jaxa. And today the Lansing Lugnuts and the Cedar Rapids Colonels play the second game of their six-game series. Adam, good to see you here today.
Yeah, great to be here. Sounds like I missed a heck of a game yesterday.
It was, and let's get right into it. First, it was the bottom half of the fifth inning, and the Colonels led the Lugnuts 1-0. We'll get into Jeff Criswell, what the Lugnuts starter did in just a moment, but at the plate for the Lugnuts was Gabriel Maciel. The Colonels had just taken out their starter, Cade Povich, from the game, and the former Colonel struck. Yet to allow a homer. 1-0 Colonels, last of the fifth, 2-1, one out. Dealing. First pitch is swatted by Gabriel Maciel to right center. That ball is down in Triples Alley and off the base of the wall. McCall is coming around to score. On his heels, Josh Juan Wright. A throw to third, not in time. Maciel's got a two-run triple. And the Lugnuts took a 2-1 lead just like that. He scored on a sack fly by Austin Beck. And then that brought up Tyler Soderstrom. Molina to the plate. Fly ball pounded to right. Taylor is back, looking up, it's gone! Out onto the lawn in right center, Soderstrom's 10th homer of the year. 4-1 Lugnuts. And that wouldn't be all for the Lugnuts, because later on in the game, the batter was Lázaro Armenteros, as the Lugnuts looked to apply some insurance. Armenteros hits a fly ball to center. Back goes Solari, he's looking up, that ball is gone! Armenteros drives it over the 20-foot-tall wall in center. Fifth shot of the year. Insurance applied. 6-1 Lugnuts. Why 6-1? Because Jeff Criswell on the mound was doing his thing and doing it well. Adam, he struck out 11 in 5 1/3 innings, and the Nuts were on their way to a 6-1 win.
Yeah, we're starting to see some really consistent performances from Jeff Criswell. The month of May showcased, I believe, what the A's saw in Criswell in drafting him And you only expect him to get better and better as this season goes on and his career hopefully goes on here with the Athletics.
Tonight, we've got Osvaldo Berríos on the mound for the Lugnuts against Sawyer Gibson Long of the Colonels. We'll talk more about that coming up shortly. But first, a conversation coming up with Lugnuts manager Phil Pohl. That's after this, as we're getting you all set for Lugnuts and Colonels from Jackson Field.
I just don't know what to do anymore.
I wish everyone would just go away.
No, it's nothing. Don't worry about me.
Mind your own business.
I hate my life.
She'll see when I'm gone.
Suicide could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a plea for help. You can help someone before it's too late.
And then she said she wanted to kill herself.
Do something. Contact OK to Say.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Welcome back on Lansing Lugnuts pregame. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Well, earlier, I had the chance to sit down with the Lansing Lugnuts manager, Phil Pohl, while the Lugnuts were playing at Beloit. And I asked the skipper for the Nuts, does this Lugnuts team parallel the team that he played for in the Midwest League?
Yeah, there's definitely some parallels, for sure. Like you said, you know, the wins, you know, have not come, I think, the way we had hoped so. That is what it is. I think we've had some, you know, some good shining spots in the team, which, you know, obviously guys are happy about, and there's some stuff we're working on. But development is it's not an overnight process. And I think we've battled through a couple injuries, and guys are, you know, battling through the cold in April, and it's all part of this development process. So I do think the wins will come. I think we're going to have our ups and downs like we've already had all year, this road trip being one of them on more of the downside with the wins and losses. But like I said, all part of the process and stuff that we, both as players and staff, myself, can all learn from.
Individually speaking, it's a great thing when you get a guy to be ready for the next level. Let's take David Leal first. First pitcher to get promoted up to Midland. What did you think of how Leal, succeeded here in Lansing?
Yeah, David did a great job. I mean, he did everything that was asked of him from our side. He went out, he started, he came out of the bullpen, he ate innings, he got strikeouts, he, you know, kept his walks to a minimum. He did everything. He checked every box that we asked him to do, and because of that, there was a need at the AA level, and his name was the first one to get called up. And actually, myself and Don, our pitching coach, were checking out his stats yesterday, and he seems to be doing a good job up there as well. So, that for us, you know, for me especially, I know I'd probably speak for Don the same thing. It's a good feeling for us when we are able to move a guy up and they go up and are still able to, you know, compete and excel at the next level. So that means David's doing his job.
You've seen a lot of pitchers. How many guys have you seen who are able to succeed with that kind of command throwing 80 to 82?
Yeah, I mean, his margin for error probably is a little bit less when it comes to his command, but David has known that and has, I'm sure, worked with that his whole career. And, his repertoire of pitches and how he's able to change speeds and change eye level, it worked for him here. It looks like it's working for him there. So he's a hard worker. He's a smart kid. He works at his game. I'm happy to see where his career is taking him right now.
We're one good game in for Brett Harris in AA. He gets promoted too. What did you see from Brett here?
Brett did a great job here. Obviously it's a bummer to lose a guy like that, a big middle of the order bat who's a, you know, staple at the hot corner, but so happy to see Brett get that opportunity. I think he's going to do very well. I haven't had the chance to look at what he did last night, if he got in there at all. But, Brett's a hard worker. I know he's a right around the Chicago area, so I'm sure this Midwest League was kind of like playing at home for him. But, he did everything he was supposed to do that we asked him, like David Leal did, and now he's got an opportunity to show what he can do at the AA level.
I'll spoil it. Single, double, walk, drove in two. He's at home now in Texas, too.
Yeah.
With this Lugnut squad, I was talking with Drew Swift, talking with Lawrence Butler about
about how this team is stealing more bases recently, and they said that you had a conversation with them in terms of the green light. More aggressiveness on the base paths coming?
Yeah, you know, I think some of that, too, is part of my development as manager. And, you know, initially, you don't want to run into unnecessary outs on the base paths. And I think that was probably more of my wanting to be conservative early on in the year and take the opportunities when they are given. But we do have some guys on the team that are, you know, are able to run and steal bases, Drew and Lawrence and Walvis being just a couple names that pop in my head. But so, yeah, just, you know, that's a part of their game that they need to develop as well. So maybe being, I'm not going to say cavalier with the green light or the steal sign, but maybe giving them a couple more opportunities when they present itself. But, yeah.
Mentioned the guys who had left. We've got a new guy here. What do you expect from Blake Beers?
I'm actually just very excited to go out and watch him pitch. Just kind of watching his video and looking through some of the reports and stuff on him. I know he's having a really good year off to a great start in Stockton. You know, he seems like a great kid. He works hard from the reports I'm hearing. So I'm excited for him to get on the rubber tonight and see what he can do here at this level.
About him being a great kid, the guys in this clubhouse and the guys that I met with the A's last year, the coaching staff, the Rovers, how much of a priority is placed on character of the individual?
You know, I think being a good teammate for me always carries a lot of weight. And I think, you know, when you're a good teammate, there you play in a better environment. And I think when you're in a better environment as a player, you can cultivate a winning environment. So I think it's, you know, being a good guy makes that winning environment that much easier to, to develop in the clubhouse. But like I said, talking to Blake, he seems like a really nice guy in the little that I've known him. But, you know, he's a hard worker. He's wanting to see what he can do to get better and to make adjustments. And, you know, hopefully he goes out and has a good outing tonight.
And then with his last name, drinks are on him.
Let's hope so.
And then lastly with Phil Pohl. So we're here at the brand new facility in Beloit. This is a little bit different from Pullman Field. What do you think?
Yeah, just a smidge different, to say the least. No, old Pullman Field was, we'll say it had a lot of character. I spent many nights in there. And the ballpark here is gorgeous. I mean, the turf in this part of the country makes it a lot easier. I know we had the one rain out because of the rain, but it's way easier to bounce back from the weather. And, you know, inside it's night and day, and they've done a nice job here. It's been a treat playing here the last week.
Do you like the bullpens up beyond the outfield wall compared to down the side?
Well, as it's a little bit further run from talking to a former bullpen catcher, but you're out of harm's way from foul balls. So you got to keep your eyes open for home runs here and there. But, yeah, no, like I said, the stadium, they've done a really nice job. We had a great atmosphere in here last night for a Friday night. So looking forward to seeing what they do here tonight for Saturday night game.
Phil, thank you very much for your time.
Jess, thanks for having me.
Lugnuts manager Phil Pohl. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, and this is Lugnuts Baseball.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
The Lugnuts take the field at Jackson Field in Michigan State Capitol. We're getting all set for the national anthem. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, rejoined by Adam Jaxa. Adam, as we're getting set for first pitch, look, the Cedar Rapids Colonels with their great pitching, we're going to see another good one in Gibson Long.
Yeah, we really are. Gibson has been excellent this year, and the Lugnuts are going to be tasked with trying to find some runs, just as they did last week against Beloit. And they've faced some really tough pitchers over the last few weeks, but their offense certainly capable, especially here in this ballpark.
Osvaldo Barrios coming off his first quality start of the year, too.
Yeah, absolutely. They need a great start out of Osvaldo today.
Down to the field we go.
Thank you.
The Olivet Eagles with tonight's national anthem as we get you ready for game two between the High A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins, the Cedar Rapids Colonels, and the High A affiliate of your Oakland Athletics, the Lansing Lugnuts. Lansing won game one 6-1 yesterday. What will game two have in store tonight on this Wednesday, June 1st, 2022, from Michigan State Capitol? With the call of the game, here's the voice of the Nuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Adam Jaxa, thank you so much. The Cedar Rapids Colonels starting lineup features second baseman Anthony Prado leading off. Batting second, the third baseman Christian Encarnacion Strand. Heading third at first base, Seth Gray. Batting fourth, the right fielder Kyler Fedko. Junior Severino just activated, DHs and bats fifth. Batting sixth in center field, Alaric Soleri. Heading seventh, the catcher Pat Winkle. Batting eighth, the shortstop Wander Javier. And then rounding off the order, the ninth place batter is the left fielder Kenny Taylor. Prado, Encarnacion, Strand, Gray. Fedko, Severino, Soleri. Winkle, Javier, Taylor. Adam, they will take on a right-hander. He hails from Juncos, Puerto Rico. His name, Osvaldo Barrios.
Yeah, it was a really impressive start the last time out for Barrios. His biggest strikeout outing with eight. And how about this, Jesse? No walks through six innings, allowed six hits, did give up three runs. But the Lugnuts hoping that they can come through today and give him some run support and hopefully get a second straight win in this series. Fastball, slider, changeup.
The defense around him. In the outfield, Johnny Butler is in left, Lawrence Butler is in center, and Austin Beck Butler is in right. Around the infield, Josh Juan Wright plays third, Aribio Angeles is at short. At second, Drew Swift, and at first base, Tyler Soderstrom. The catcher, Hanson Lopez. 75 degrees in Lansing, and at 7:04 p.m., a swing and a miss for strike one. Anthony Prado delivered the only Cedar Rapids run yesterday with a home run off Jeff Criswell. Strike one offering misses in. One ball and one strike, according to the home plate umpire Nathan Diedrich. Our bases umpire is Ken Jackson. Righty, righty. Pitch on its way. Ground ball up the third base out of fair. Ball eludes right. That ball heads into the Cedar Rapids pen. Extra bases for Prado. Dashes into second base. Hangs on there as Johnny Butler lobs into short. A leadoff double for the Colonels.
Well, Anthony Prado having a nice start to this series. He accounted for the only run yesterday with the solo shot, and today gets things going with the leadoff double.
Eighth double of the year for Prado. Not only that, it's his 19th extra base hit of the season. And that brings up Christian Encarnacion Strand. Righty, righty, no score, nobody out. Barrios' pitch. Ground ball smacked, hopping off the pitcher's mound to second baseman Swift. Had a thought of going to third. Instead, deals to Soderstrom at first. Out number one, Prado takes third base.
That's a really smart play by Swift. He could have, if he wanted to, tried to make a really risky throw to third. And Prado got a great jump, so he gave it a long look, thought better of it, and takes the for sure out at first base.
And this will bring up the first baseman for the Colonels, Seth Gray. Third baseman right is in and off his line. Left-handed batter takes. Strike called from Osvaldo Barrios, a fastball to start him. Gray comes in hitting 242. He has knocked in 18 runs, four home runs this year. The pitch tails off the outside corner. One ball and one strike. Gray in his second year with Cedar Rapids. Here's the pitch. Fouls it back to the netting. Off speed from Barrios, and it's a ball and two strikes.
I like this, though, Jesse. He's coming out throwing strikes. He is hitting his spots early in this first inning.
Barrios last year did not carry the reputation of being a strikeout guy. He's getting strikeouts this year. A 1-2, a swing and a ground ball. Line drive punched at third baseman right, I should say. He was in, he lunged, he caught it. He stopped it from touching the ground, and that keeps Prado at third base. Gray is at number two.
Well, a pretty good spot right there for Wright. He had to bend over to his left a touch, but he was almost perfectly positioned. Great job to hold on to it and get the batter or the runner there, Prado, back to the bag at third.
So now Kyler Fedko, and Wright can back up as Fedko takes high. Ball one. A leadoff double, a ground out, and a line out, and now Barrios looks to Strand Prado 90 feet away. No score. A 1-0. Change up inside. Two balls and no strikes on Fedco. Kyler Fedco's batting .239 this year in 14 games, three doubles, two homers. He's a contact batter. Knees bent, out of a crouch. Here it comes. A slider down and away. Three balls and no strikes. I asked the voice of the Colonel's Thomas Breach earlier today what he made of Fedco being the cleanup hitter, because Thomas Breach describes him as an old school sort of hitter. Doesn't strike out. A 3-0. Taken on the inside corner, strike called. He just wants to go out there, put the ball into play, be a pesky sort of batter.
You can't be an old school hitter, though, with batting gloves, right?
That's a good point. Two of them. A 3-1. Strike two called. Brio's fitting the fastball in there. Not only is he wearing batting gloves, but if you look in his rear back left pocket, he's got his running gloves.
He's got the wristband. Looks like on the left forearm. So he's having a little flair down there with his equipment set up.
Middle of the infield, open. Center fielder Butler shaded to right center. A payoff pitch. Fedco chops toward short. In comes Angeles. Short hop scoop, not made. Hopped up on him. Fedco is on. Prado is in to score. 1-0 Colonels. Official score rules RBI infield single.
I think Angeles could have just gotten in front of that ball, Jesse. He tried to just stab at it, thinking that he had to make a quick play to get it over to first in time. I think if he would have gotten in front of that ball, looked it in, and kind of slowed down his attack to the baseball, I still think he would have had time there to get Fedco at first.
That extends things for Junior Severino, switch hitter batting left. 1-0 Colonels, two outs. The first pitch is down and in. There goes Fedco for second base. A throw down by Lopez, the tag, not in time. In head first, Kyler Fedco. And here comes Phil Polat for a discussion with the bases umpire Jackson. Lugnuts thought that they had him down at second.
It was a good effort right there by Hanson Lopez, because he had to slide to his right, command and find that baseball, and then avoid Severino at the plate, and still threw a strike to Angeles, who nearly got that tag on the head down before the arm came in from Fedco.
Real quick discussion between Pohl and Jackson. One ball and no strikes, the count on Junior Severino. Here's the pitch. Just off the outside corner, ball two. Severino out of Santo Domingo Este, Dominican Republic, East Santo Domingo. Two balls, no strikes. The third pitch of the plate appearance. Change up down and away, ball three. So this brings us to the fourth pitch of the plate appearance, and this matters because Severino's season to date had been four pitches. His very first plate appearance of the year, the fourth pitch hit him and knocked him out of action. A 3-0, swings and misses, strike one. It hit him on the left thumb. They thought it was a contusion. Then upon second check, they found out that it was broken. This was the second game of the year for the Colonels. So just that HBP for his 2022 season until here today. 3-1. Hits it high in the air and foul, towering off the left side. Count is full. And I would like to welcome Severino to the rest of his 2022 season. Just activated earlier today.
Well, and you hate to see that. You go through all of spring training, excited to go up there for real competition, and then you have a setback. So awesome. He is back today.
Payoff. Line shot right center field, down for a base hit. Beck can't cut it off. It's going toward the wall. And a score, holding his helmet, Kyler Fedco. Severino speeds around second. Helmetless, he hustles for third. A throw gets right through Josh Wainwright, and he's safe. Except, hang on, we've got obstruction called, and Severino is awarded home plate. And it's 3-0 Colonels. Josh Wainwright was ruled to be in Severino's path on his way to third base. And the home plate umpire, Diedrich, made the call. Or is that what it was? I beg your pardon, Adam. The ball went in the dugout. The ball, after it got through right, went all the way in the dugout, and Diedrich pointed, and Severino came plateward. Triple, and then the error, Little League home run, 3-0 Colonels. Don Schulte is out to visit Barrios.
Well, that's a tough start right there, especially because Drew Swift, Jesse, put a good ball to Joshuan Wright at third base. He just couldn't come up with it. And then, as you mentioned, Osvaldo Barrios was in the right position to back it up, but he didn't, I don't think, expect that ball to get through. And there's only one opening down there on the north end of the visiting bullpen that opens up to allow the ball to get into it and out of play. And unfortunately, that's where that ball went to give him the extra run to come into play.
So E4, Drew Swift. Cardinals yesterday lost 6-1. Today they have 3 in the first. And Osvaldo Barrios' last time out, he allowed 3 runs in 6 innings. He deals to Alex Soleri. First offering is sent sky down the right side, twisting, foul. And strike one. Soleri had himself a fine game at home plate yesterday in the series opener. He had a single, he drew 2 walks, reaching 3 times in 4 trips. He takes ball 1, a slider low. Alaric Soleri batting a 6th in the order. The pitch, fastball waved down and missed. Strike 2.
Well, that's what you need from Barrios. It's been a tough start to this first inning, but you just have to come right back, be aggressive, and attack Soleri here and try and get that final out.
1-2. Here's the pitch. A fastball yanked outside. 2-2 on Soleri. Pat Winkle waits on deck. 2 outs, nobody on. A breaking ball served foul to the right and will stay 2-2.
That's how difficult this game is, Jesse. The minimal mistakes you make and the batters can make you play. He was doing such a good job, Barrios, of getting ahead of hitters until the last 2.
Deals. Soleri fouls it back into the screen.
Your command escapes you for just this little instance. And these professional hitters, They're going to pay it off. Fedco behind 3-0, or ahead 3-0. Same thing with Severino.
Action in the Lugnuts pen. Edward Barham is warming 2-2. Soleri takes ball 3. Down low and away. Barrios now up to unofficially 26 pitches in this first inning. A payoff pitch. Fouled up and away to the right side. Well, Barrios went 3-2 on Kyler Fedco. Fedco reached on the infield single to Angeles. He went 3-2 on Severino, who then tripled. And now 3-2 to Soleri. Swing and a miss. Struck him out to retire the side. But Cedar Rapids scores 3 runs on 3 hits and an error. Nobody left on. Cardinals 3, Lugnuts coming up when we return.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, outerwear, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
The Cardinals played 3 in the top of the first inning against Osvaldo Barrios. And now the Lansing Lugnuts are coming up. Drew Swift, Gabriel Maciel, Tyler Soderstrom. They'll take on the right-handers Sawyer, Gibson, Long.
Well, Jesse, he's been excellent this year. ERA sub 2, fastball, four-seam variety, changeup, and a slider for the righty out of Mercer.
Righty, righty, first pitch. Drew Swift lines it off the glove of Gibson Long to second baseman Prado. Throws to first, just in time to beat the hustling Swift. One up, one pitch, one gone. Gabriel Maciel is coming up next for the Lugnuts. Here's the Cedar Rapids defense. There's Anthony Prado at second base. At first base, Seth Gray. The shortstop is Wander Javier. Christian Encarnacion Strand is at third. And the catcher is Pat Winkle. In the outfield, Taylor in left, Soleri in center, Fedko is in right. And Gibson Long to Gabriel Maciel. Fastball for a called strike one. Switch hitter batting left. Maciel had one hit in yesterday's game. It was crucial against his former teammates. The wind, the pitch. Off the outside corner. A fastball for ball one. Maciel in the bottom of the fifth inning. Greeted the new pitcher, Derek Molina. First pitch he saw, roped a two-run go-ahead triple for a 2-1 Lugnuts lead. The 1-1. Ground ball weakly struck right side. Backhanded first baseman Gray. Underhands to Gibson Long, the pitcher covering at first. Two outs.
I'm always curious, Jesse, for batters, if they ever read the splits and think, well, this pitcher, as I'm a switch hitter, is better against lefties than he is righties, and if that ever plays in their decision to continue batting from the right, even though the matchup says righty-lefty is better or not.
Now Gibson Long against Tyler Soderstrom. First pitch. Tyler takes a breaking ball for a called strike one. Home run number 10 this year came yesterday for Soderstrom, after home run number 9 was on Sunday in Beloit. The wind, the toss. Soderstrom chops it to first baseman Gray. Comes in, grabs, takes it to his base, and three up and three down go the Lugnuts. With Gray winging it up there, Orfan made a nice grab and gave the Austin Beck chest pound. Let's go to the second inning. And this is the worry. When Gibson Long is going good, you know it, because he's getting grounders. 1-2-3, 1-4-3, 3-1, 3 unassisted. It's 3-0 Colonels. One inning down from Jackson Field in Lansing.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
And here's Pat Winkle to lead off the top of the second inning. Colonels 3, Lugnuts nothing. Winkle takes a ball outside from Lugnuts right-hander Osvaldo Berrios. Adam Jaxa here by my side. Glad to have you along here with us. 3-0 Colonels. The pitch. Winkle lines it right at second baseman Swift. And there's one out. Wander Javier will come up next, then Kenny Taylor. This is the bottom part of the Cedar Rapids order.
It's the second time we've seen Berrios kind of get that soft line shot in the infield. Saw one to Joshua on right in the first inning, and there to Drew Swift here to open the second.
Looking for a better second inning than the first inning, Berrios to Wander Javier. A called strike on the inside corner.
Yeah, you contradict the two pitchers. And 6-pitch compared to 29-pitch with 3 runs and 3 hits.
Righty throws to righty. A slider is lined into right center field. That's a base hit. Beck quickly over to his right. Right fielder plays it in the gap, gets it in. a one-out single for Javier. And that'll bring up Kenny Taylor, the number 9 hitter in the order for Cedar Rapids. 3-0 Colonels. In the first inning, Anthony Prado had a leadoff double. And then Barrios retired both Encarnacion Strand and Gray. There's a swing and a high fly hidden to left center field. Johnny Butler and Lawrence Butler over. It's Lawrence Butler from center field with the catch, losing his hat along the way. And Javier back to first base. 2 outs.
Boy, he lost his hat early in tracking. That was about a 1.5 step, and then goodbye baseball cap.
Right as he started to build up speed.
You see the way he's putting it back on his head, two hands, and really thrusting it down to try and get it to stay.
Here's the leadoff hitter, Anthony Prado again, taking ball one low and away. We are seeing baseball caps flying off of players at an increasing rate recently.
Still out there adjusting, putting it on his head.
Correctly. Righty. Prado takes outside. That's amazing. What I couldn't get over was it the Severino triple in the first inning, where both Severino and Kyler Fedko each lost their batting helmets on their way around the bases. Fedko scoring, Severino to third. Prado takes the breaking ball, called a strike. It's 2-1.
I still think Angeles is the clubhouse leader for the Lugnuts here in 2022 for times he's lost his batting helmet rounding the bases.
At first base, Javier, 3-0 Colonels, as Prado gets under one into shallow right center. Second baseman Swift backpedals, called off. Austin Beck called off, and Lawrence Butler makes the catch. Beck called off Swift, but in the end, it was Butler who had the last word and the last out. A single, stranded. We go to the bottom half of the second inning. The Lugnuts are coming up, down 3-0 to the Colonels.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go Nuts!
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
It'll be Austin Beck to get things going in the bottom of the second inning for the Lugnuts, followed by Lawrence Butler and Johnny Butler. Adam Jackson by my side. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. Lugnuts trail Cedar Rapids 3-0. Right-hander Sawyer Gibson Long winds and throws. A breaking ball called a strike to start off Beck. Austin Beck, the cleanup hitter, starting in right field here today, hitting 220 through 33 games. The leg kick, the pitch. Slider outside. 1-1. According to the Cedar Rapids game notes, as made out by Thomas Breach, their broadcaster and in charge of all media relations, Gibson Long features a riding four-seam fastball, a changeup, and a slider. Fly ball, right center field and shallow. So Larry comes over, making the catch, overlapping with Fedko and right. Beck is at number one. I bring that up, quote-unquote, a riding four-seam fastball, a changeup, and a slider, because you would not think about a guy who throws a riding four-seam fastball as a guy who gets a lot of grounders. But when Gibson Long is going well, he gets a ton of balls on the ground. 3-0 Colonels. Lawrence Butler swings away. First pitch lifted to left field. Back goes Taylor with the play with a routine catch. still about 10 feet away from the warning track. And there's at number two. So three ground outs in the first inning for the Lugnuts. One to second, two to first. And now to start off the second inning, a couple of flyouts. What they all have in common is that Gibson Long has not broken a sweat yet.
Yeah, 10 total pitches, six in the first, four here in the second. Goodness.
Johnny Butler bats left, two outs, nobody on. Five up, five down against Gibson Long, dealing. Fastball for a called strike one. Johnny Butler didn't play yesterday. He's hitting .281 through 18 games out of NC State. Here comes. He sends a high fly in the left center field. There's Kenny Taylor with Solari next to him. Taylor with the catch in the shadow of the video board. And three flyouts at a perfect second for Gibson Long. Let's go to the third inning. Adam Jaxa takes over the call of the game. It's the Colonels three and the Lugnuts nothing.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Top of the third inning, and the Cedar Rapids Colonels lead 3-0 as we bring you back to the park. Osvaldo Berrios' first pitch is in there. Slide piece, strike one against Christian Encarnacion Strands. 295 hitter with 8 home runs, 39 driven in. The pitch. Low and outside, misses with the slider. The 6-foot, 225-pound, 22-year-old from Walnut Creek, California, Fornia. The pitch. Swings and misses at the slider. That's three straight, and it's 1-2. Christian Encarnacion Strand named the April Midwest League Player of the Month. The pitch. Reached on, popped up in the infield. Looks to be behind second, a shade to the right of the bag. In comes Drew Swift. Makes the catch, and there's the first out of the third. 3-0 lead for Cedar Rapids thanks to a three-run first. Barrios exerted 29 pitches in that first inning with a double, single, and a triple, home run short of the cycle given up in the first. Second time through the order, here's the lefty, Seth Gray. The pitch, swatted foul, third base side. Has to be a nice relief for the players after yesterday's hot and humid day that touched up around 90 degrees. The pitch on the ground, weakly hit towards short. Angeles behind the back to his left to second, throws to Soderstrom at first. Six pitches, two outs. Yesterday's game time temp, 83 degrees, but it climbed to be over 90 here in the Lansing area. And today, cooled off significantly. Had some rain come in earlier in the day to limit the humidity, and just above 75 for the first pitch. Fredko takes the first offering in there, strike one. 3-0 our score, the Colonels leading the Nuts in the top of the third. Righty on righty, the pitch. Lifted out towards center field, and it's a base hit. Kind of a looping lofted shot that gets out into the grass, and Fedko is on for a second time. He steps in the way of a perfect third for Osvaldo Berrios, who's trying to go toe-to-toe right now with Sawyer Gibson Long, who's thrown 12 pitches, 9 of which have been for strikes, and he's retired the first 6 he's faced. Severino, first pitch, inside, ball 1. Eunora Severino with an RBI triple and then scored on an error in his first at-bat in that opening frame. The pitch, checked it, doesn't go around, called strike 1. Heavy slider usage in this third inning for Osvaldo Berrios. And why not? He's hitting the zone with it. The righty tosses again. Misses low with the 93-mile-an-hour fastball. 2-1. Berrios, that three-pitch mix, fastball, slider, and change for the Puerto Rican native. 20th round selection in 2017. The pitch, good change. Strike 2. 3 runs on 5 hits so far for Cedar Rapids, while Lansing still looking for the first base runner. The 2-2. Whacked out to right center field and fading down, and that's a base hit. Butler grabs, spins, throws it in. Over to third moves Fedko as he loses his helmet once more, and they're at the corners with 2 outs in the third.
Think he might need a different sized helmet.
Or maybe a different sized head.
That was a hanging changeup. Left it right over the heart of the plate, and the swing for Severino was similar to his triple swing back in the first inning.
He had success with the changeup earlier in that at-bat, but it was successful because it was low. Jesse's right. That pitch was left up, and Severino didn't miss it. Alaric Soleri now. The pitch. Driven high out to left field. Backing up is Butler. He's running out of room, and that ball is gone. It's a 3-run shot off the bat of Alaric Soleri. 6-0, Cedar Rapids in the third.
You mentioned the effective sliders earlier in this inning. That was an ineffective slider. Hung right for him, right down the middle.
That's the second time in this game that Cedar Rapids has gotten 2 pretty quick outs and then just tears it up with back-to-back, and in this case, back-to-back-to-back hits. First pitch, jammed back by Winkle. Strike 1. Berrios had 2 outs in 6 pitches. Then a single by Fedko, a single by Severino, and a homer from Soleri. Next pitch, popped up, left side of the infield, but fading foul away from Josh Wainwright. And that landed in to one of the fans. What is that, a handbag it looks like over there? Just to carry around an oversized purse to her left, I believe. And the baseball landed right in it. No hops. Just directly into the handbag. No balls, 2 strikes. That counts as an out, right? The pitch. That's upstairs. Ball 1.
You say handbag. I say ball bag.
That works as well. I was trying to get a better look at it because it was sitting to her left. I think she's still trying to find the baseball. It's in there somewhere. 1-2. Lone outside. 2 balls, 2 strikes. I'm not sure if she saw it come down, but she looked pleasantly surprised when the baseball landed to her left and right into her bags in the seat to her left. 2-2. Swing and a miss. And that, a 94-mile-an-hour fastball to close this third inning on the Cedar Rapids Colonels. But 3 hits, Soleri with a 3-run bomb to left. It's all Colonels, 6-0. Bottom of the third is next.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe. And you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
And we're back for the top of the bottom half of the third, rather, and the first pitch floats in to Eurybio Angeles for strike one. Bottom third of the card for the Nuts as they trail 6-0 back at home this week at Jackson Field. Gibson Long throws, and it's kicked back off the netting, 0-2. 12-game road trip out to Midland, about an hour and a half up, and to the east to take on the Loons, and then out to Beloit, Wisconsin last week. The pitch reached down and sent over towards the shortstop side on the ground. Weakly hit. Javier throws, and it's in time for the first down. Beloit, Wisconsin, if you've never been, the smallest minor league sized market, and it's about an hour northwest of Chicago. So wrap around Lake Michigan and head up to Beloit, Wisconsin. Check out ABC Supply Stadium. We give it good reviews. Not good results last week, though, for the Nuts. Here's Josh Wright. Swats one foul, third base side. Strike one. Beloit, who had come in last place in the league, took 5 of 6. And then you looked at this week and go, okay, here comes first place Cedar Rapids in the West, and baseball happens. The Lugnuts come out and win a dominating game yesterday, 6-1. The 0-1. Swinging a ball on the ground towards third, swept up by Encarnacion Strand. Spins, throws to first in time. Heck of a play by the third baseman. And there are two quick outs in this third inning. Cedar Rapids up 6-0. And Sawyer Gibson Long, an out away from retiring the first nine in order.
It's a nice play by Encarnacion Strand, who has committed 12 errors this year. And in speaking with Thomas Breach, the voice of the Cardinals, he had said Encarnacion Strand has really worked on being better going to his left.
Here's Hanson Lopez. Bends back out of the way, and the fastball comes inside at 94. Ball one. Yeah, he had mentioned that they're a team that's prone to some mistakes, but their pitching can make up for it. Certainly the case. The 1-0. Check swing. Lopez doesn't offer, according to Ken Jackson down the first base side. Sawyer Gibson Long, an ERA just up over 2, 43 strikeouts, 10 walks coming in. No strikeouts, no walks yet today. 2-0. That's outside, and flirting with allowing his first base runner behind Hanson Lopez, the 9-hitter. 3-0 is Lopez. He's only played in a few games for the Nuts, still looking for his first hit up here at the high A level. The 3-0 offering. Just nips the outside corner, 3-1.
He's thrown as many pitches to Anson Lopez as he threw to the first 8 hitters combined.
And good to use his arm a little bit here and maybe tire him out for a second. 3-1 pitch. Hard hit, foul down the third base side as Phil Poles skips out of the way. Good hack there from Lopez, and it's 3-2. Gibson Long with an opponent batting average of 199 coming in. In 5 of his 8 starts this year, he has shut out the opponent. Doing that now up 6-0 in the third. 3-2. A little high and wide, and there is the Lugnuts first base runner. The nine-hitter, Hanson Lopez, turns the card over with a walk.
Lopez has really served a fascinating role in this Lugnuts squad. The Lugnuts have three catchers, right? Tyler Soderstrom, Matt Cross, Jared McDonald. And yet they've missed each of them for different reasons. Soderstrom, a bruised thumb. Matt Cross had a wedding to attend. Jared McDonald came down with COVID-19. And so over the course of those different events, they've just needed Hanson Lopez.
Now Drew Swift's turn. The pitch, low and outside, ball one.
And yet Hanson Lopez gets the start today, Adam, when the other three are perfectly fine and healthy and available. But you know what? Good for him.
Well, good to build some depth and have guys healthy, as Jesse's mentioning. It's been up and down to start the first 2 months. 1-0. Up high, outside, two balls, no strikes. For Lopez, by the way, this is game three for him and his first walk drawn moments ago. 6-0 Colonels over the Nuts in this third inning in game two of six this week in Lansing. Gibson Long's pitch. In there, strike one.
Yesterday, Cade Povich looked really good for the Colonels, though the first time around in the Lugnuts order. But it was the second time around that we started to see those batters make adjustments, and he was gone in the fifth inning.
It's kind of like the second month around in the season where we started to see the adjustments. 2-1. On the ground, weakly hit towards short, scooped up by Javier, and an underhand flip to get the short out. Go the short route to get the short out at second. 6-4 put out, and that will do it. Lansing does get their first base runner, but strands one at first. We head to the fourth, 6-0, Cedar Rapids.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Who let the dogs out? Jackson Field did. It's a dog days of summer as we bring you back for the top of the fourth. Adam Jackson, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. 6-0, though. Cedar Rapids spoiling our dog days of summer on this Wednesday evening. The first night in June 2022. Under Javier stands in, and the first pitch is down low. Osvaldo Barrios begins his fourth inning of work. 57 pitches, 38 for strikes so far. The second toss of the fourth. Down low, two balls, no strikes. We're going to do some trivia in this fourth inning.
You don't say.
I do say. 2-0, swing and a miss, strike one. Javier, Kenny Taylor, and then back to the top of the card, and Anthony Prado, the three that are due up against the righty Barrios. 2-1. Just misses the outside of the plate. 3-1. Sun is out, shining bright on this 76-degree Wednesday night. 3-1. Swing, and it's fouled back off the equipment of Hanson Lopez, the Lugnuts catcher tonight. Lansing in the road blacks at home. They spent so much time on the road, and they want to get some more of it with the black tops. 3-2. Little bit wide, and it's ball four, the first walk that Barrios has given up.
It's a fun color combination with Cedar Rapids wearing its red tops today.
Really looks like Lansing Lugnuts flavored baseball game with the black and the red. Lansing with the black caps with the Luggy logo in silver. Black tops, silver Lugnuts riding across the chest, and then the white pants and black socks. Kenny Taylor steps up, and the first pitch is outside. You know, Jesse, there have been some guys that have had some pretty long streaks in Major League Baseball. Streaks of games played in Major League Baseball. The 1-0, that's inside. Two balls, no strikes. The man that sits in second, you may have heard of him, his name, Lou Gehrig. We are going to get a visit from Don Schulze as Hanson Lopez will join the pitching coach out there to talk with Osvaldo Berríos. Your trivia question today, Gehrig, who sits in second in Major League history with 2,130 consecutive games played, behind only, of course, Cal Ripken Jr. I'd like to know, what day did that streak start on? And if you could, please, I would like the year and the month and the day. That is today's trivia question. Lou Gehrig, consecutive games played, 2,130 before he hung it up. When, on what date did that streak start? At Adam Jaxa, at Jay Goldstrass, or you can email into the broadcast, jgoldstrass@lansinglugnuts.com. All right, so we're ready to go here on a 2-0 pitch. Swing and a miss, 2-1.
I was just looking up broadcasting streaks as well. I believe, so I'm reading right here, that Harry Carey didn't miss a game from 1945 through 1987.
Incredible. 2-1. Runner takes off for second. Pitch is low. Throw down in time and out the call as Drew Swift applies the tag on Javier. One away in the fourth.
Picture perfect from Hanson Lopez.
Absolutely superb with that throw. Drew Swift got over there in time and didn't really have to move. The 3-1. Hard hit over towards third off two short hops. Josh Winright takes it, tags the throw over to first, but it's high. And Soderstrom couldn't quite get the tag around in time. And Taylor is safe due to an E5 on Josh Winright. That was a peculiar play there from Wright. He fielded it, Jesse, and then he looked behind him before he threw the baseball. I don't know if he was perhaps checking the sun or what he was looking at, but he looked behind him, and I think that caused an errant throw. Here's Anthony Prado. Swats one bouncing foul. Weakly hit first base side. His manager, Phil Pohl, comes a couple of steps off the top step to dump that one into the dugout.
I was thinking of a hockey goalie where you see, did the puck get past you into the net, or did you make the save?
The pitch. Outside, ball one. Were there any goalies involved in the Game 1 Western Conference Finals last night? I don't think so.
I thought there was great defense. Otherwise, 20 goals would have been scored.
Oh, my goodness. The 1-1. That's hit back foul. One ball, two strikes. What was that, an 8-6 or 8-7
yes.
Final?
Yeah.
Goodness. You've got two of the top offenses going at it in Colorado and Edmonton.
It was Big 12 hockey.
It certainly was, and we all are pulling for the Canadians. The 1-2, throw over to first, and not in time. That may be a facetious statement. Adam is pulling for anybody but the Avs.
Not the Canadians.
Correct.
But the Canadian team.
Yes. The 1-2, that's lifted out to left field. Going over to his left is Butler makes the catch, and he's got it for the second out. Is that a proper term when talking about Canadians to say, if you're talking about the people of Canada rather than the hockey team? Or did I just make a
wrong? That was it, the Canadian team, that's fine.
Okay. But not the Canadians, not Montreal, but yes, the Edmonton Oilers, but rooting for Canada. Encarnacion Strand takes a strike on the outer half of the plate. 6-0 our score. We're in the top of the fourth with two outs and a runner at first. The Nuts trailing thanks to two three-run half innings by the Colonels. That slider off the edge of the plate, 1-1. A walk, an E5, and a flyout. Javier was then caught stealing at second after the walk. The pitch up high, two balls and a strike. Christian Encarnacion Strand, 0-2. He's cooled off after a heck of a performance in April to start the year. 2-1. Slider outside. Three balls and a strike. Big fella waves that bat in front of him. 6'2", 215. The pitch. Swats it down the third base side. Foul. And we'll do this again at three balls, two strikes. So should say 6 foot, 225. The 22-year-old. Don't want to sell him short out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, where he played his college ball in Oklahoma State. Fourth round selection last year. He led the league in batting average, hits, total bases, RBI, slugging percentage, and OPS throughout the month of April this year. 3-2. Runner takes off for second. Pitch is just wide, and it's the second walk issued by Barrios in this fourth inning. First and second with two outs.
There have been games this year where we've seen Barrios give up hard contact. A lot of hits, a lot of runs. But we've also seen him pitch deep in those games because he still pitched efficiently. That hasn't been the case here today. There have been a lot of deep counts. Just the two walks, but he's used a lot of pitches.
His season high in walks came at home against Fort Wayne when he issued five back in late April. His pitch swatted back foul. Strike one to Seth Gray. 6-0, Colonels in front in the top of the fourth. Shadows taking over the outfield corner in left. And then deep in center with the video board shadow in the middle of center. Rest of the infield, for the most part, in the sun. Barrios is 0-1. Swatted foul third base side. A nice job getting ahead here, 0-2. He's gotten behind in three of the first four batters he's faced in this fourth inning. But first time he's gotten out in front 0-2 on a batter in this fourth inning. And Seth Gray, who's 0-2 in this game with a soft line out and a ground out. The pitch home. High and tight as it straightens up Gray. One ball, two strikes. Colonels in those bright red tops, gray pants, black socks this evening in Lansing. The 1-2. Reached on and bounced. High hopper to the right of the mound. Barrios snags on that big hop, runs it over, flips to Soderstrom. And that'll do it for the fourth. A couple of walks and an error go for naught. Bottom four is next. 6-0, Cedar Rapids.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful pain-reducing prescription medicines, but most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country, and tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets, anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
We move to the bottom of the fourth at Jackson Field. Thanks for spending the opening night in June 2022 with us in Michigan State Capitol. Lugnuts need to get some hits. They need to get some runs. Sawyer Gibson Long has been excellent so far. 6-0 Cedar Rapids. 2, 3, and 4 coming up, though, beginning with Gabriel Maciel, Tyler Soderstrom, and Austin Beck in this fourth inning. Second time through the order. The pitch up high. Ball one to Maciel. The former Minnesota Twin himself was with Cedar Rapids last year. Had a pretty big swing out there in Cedar Rapids against the Nuts. The pitch, swing and a miss. That looked like the home run swing that he provided last year. A grand slam to beat the Nuts in Cedar Rapids when they visited last season. Gibson long, steps back, kicks and throws. Maciel squares to bunt, and it goes foul. One ball, two strikes on Gabriel Maciel. Switch hitting 5'8", 185-pound, 23-year-old from Brazil. Picked up in the Rule 5 draft from Minnesota last year. 1-2 pitch coming. Weak fly to left of the infield, and it comes down to Encarnacion Strand for the first out. Not much to that one, just off the end of the bat. And that's kind of been the story so far against Sawyer Gibson Long. A lot of weak contact for the Nuts. Here's a guy that certainly can thrive in some big swings. He's had two in his last two games over the wall. One in Beloit, and then yesterday over the right field wall here in Lansing. It's Tyler Soderstrom, the pitch. Swinging a tapper foul off himself and into fair territory. Strike one. The Lugnuts, as Jesse has put in the game notes, have got some pretty impressive offensive ranks through the first 2 months of the season, but a lot of those rankings have been propelled by what they have done at home this season. Literally taking care of home field advantage. Second pitch down low to Tyler Soderstrom. Batting average-wise, they are second at home games this year with 256 for the BA. 29 home runs is second as well at home. Swing and a miss. One ball, two strikes on Soderstrom. They're first at home in on-base percentage at .352, second in slugging percentage at .444, and first in OPS just short of .800. They have swung it well in a hitter-friendly park in Jackson Field. Position right in between Cedar and Larch. The pitch. Tapped back foul. One ball, two strikes. Lansing now with 45 home runs this year. And how about 34 coming in May after 11 in April? What a month for some power. 1-2. Bouncer off the plate, past the pitcher Gibson Long to second. On the run throw from Prado, and it just beats Soderstrom. He's running towards the third base line and throws back across his body to first. Winged it over there, and Seth Gray came up with the play. Two outs for Austin Beck. Gibson Long's pitch to the righty. That's on the outside corner, strike one. 6-0 Colonels in the fourth. In the meantime, just in terms of overall numbers offensively, Lansing's been pretty good in that department as well. Top three in batting average. The pitch, swing and a miss from Beck, 0-2. 237 is third in the Midwest League. Home runs, 45, that's tied for third. Top eight in on-base percentage, sixth in slugging, and sixth in OPS. So some pretty good numbers for this team. The pitch, swing and a miss. That one came inside after Beck chased a couple outside to open the AB. The first strikeout, believe it or not, for Sawyer Gibson Long. He's allowed a walk, and that's been it through four. Let's head to the fifth. All Colonels up by a touchdown without the extra point. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler on the play-by-play when we return.
As the world faces the challenges of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Lions recognize that kindness matters now more than ever. And Lions and Leos are finding ways to continue to serve our communities, including ordering food delivery for healthcare workers, holding story time for children online, and providing surgical masks to medical professionals and first responders. Empowering us to do more, Lions Clubs International Foundation has provided nearly $2.5 million in grant funding for COVID-19 relief. And that support continues to grow. For more than 100 years, in times of need, Lions always find a way to help those around them. And after we emerge from this, we will be stronger than ever. Visit lionsclubs.org to learn more.
This is Alex Jensen,
voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Four innings down, we go to the fifth. The Cedar Rapids Colonels bring up Fedko, Severino, and Soleri. The righty Osvaldo Barrios on the hill. Colonels up 6-0. First pitch, high fly off Kyler Fedko's bat. Back goes Beck and right. Back he goes. It's gone. Kyler Fedko on the first pitch of the fifth goes oppo. And it's 7-0 Cedar Rapids. They kick the extra point on Fedko's third home run with the Colonels. Is it too easy to say that one of the Colonels popped a home run?
No, that plays.
It is the second home run of the game for Cedar Rapids against Osvaldo Barrios. Alaric Soleri hit a three-run shot in the third inning. Here comes Junior Severino, who takes ball one from Barrios. First pitch slider, and the Lugnuts bullpen just like that gets active once more. Right-handed pitcher deals. The switch hitter batting left takes a slider for called strike. 1-1.
I think they may have popped a hole in the back.
The pitch to Severino. He swings and fouls it up and away off to the left side. Now they count 1-2. Severino has an RBI triple, a single. He has scored 2 of the 7 runs. The windup, the pitch. Severino grounds it foul off the top of the railing of the Lugnuts dugout. Might have hit somebody, too. Bounded off the net. They're going to check in down there. Is that Jeff Criswell? Here's the pitch. High fly out into center field. Lawrence Butler trots forward, calls off Johnny Butler. Center fielder makes the catch. And there's one out. Adam, I would like your help with something.
Yes, sir.
Today is, in fact, the first day of June, right? And so I pulled up the Lansing Lugnuts June, the May statistics. And I was thinking maybe we could hand out a superlative or two for May Players of the Month. Alaric Soleri is the batter. Soleri swings, foul tips the first pitch into, then out of the catcher Hanson Lopez's mitt. On the count, 0-1. We'll check in as well with the Cedar Rapids Colonels. And check in with Colonel superlatives either in the top half of this fifth or in the bottom half. And 0-1 for Soleri. Outside from Barrios. One out, nobody on. It's 7-0 Colonels. Kyler Fedko homering to open up this inning. Fedko has scored 3 of the 7 runs. Barrios kicks and throws. Sliders outside. 2 balls and 1 strike on Soleri. All right. It seems to me that there is a clear guy, a candidate above and away for the Lugnuts in May among position players. A 2-1 misses away, ball 3. Although Brett Harris only played 14 games, scored 13 runs, knocked in 11, had 6 homers, also 3 doubles. 3-1 pitch, right down the middle, called the strike. Count is full on Soleri. Hit 306, OPS 1,142. What are your thoughts?
I would have gone Tyler Soderstrom.
Let's look at Soderstrom next, because as I mentioned, Harris only 14 games. A 3-2, outside for ball 4, and Soleri is on. Third walk given out by Barrios. Edward Barham is the reliever warming up for the Lugnuts down the pen in the right side. On the pitching coach, Don Schultze, makes his way out to the mound. Tyler Soderstrom played 24 games, and go through those numbers.
Yeah, 274 hitter and 94 ABs, scored 14 runs, 26 hits, 5 doubles, a triple, 8 home runs, 22 driven in, and brought the strikeouts down to 23 with 7 walks.
Soderstrom's April compared to his May. So Soderstrom in May, 14 extra base hits. His April, he had 4 doubles and 2 homers. He hit 159, and the OPS was 549. Boy, has he gotten good as this season's gone on.
Actually, his strikeout number is exactly the same, 23 and 23. But, yeah, the productiveness was way up there in terms of the big swings that we expect from a pure hitter from the left side of the plate in Tyler Soderstrom. And great to see that he brought that in the month of May. Only seems like good things are bound to come the rest of the season.
Well, Barrios, ready to work to Pat Winkle. Runner takes off, pitches outside, throw down by Lopez, tails left and is late. And Alaric Solari steals second, head first. Cedar Rapids has its foot on the gas. 7-0 Colonels in the top half of the fifth inning. And they're not done. One out, one ball, no strikes on Winkle, the left-handed hitting catcher. The pitch coming from Barrios. That is lofted, shallow center. In comes Lawrence Butler. It falls for a base hit. Butler plays it in. Solari around third. He comes to score standing. No play made by the Lugnuts. RBI single, Pat Winkle, and it's 8-0. That for Winkle is his first run batted in his fourth game with Cedar Rapids. And Phil Pohl is making his way out to the mound to make the move to Edward Barham right here and right now. Osvaldo Barrios, 4 1/3 innings, and right now, 8 runs tagged to him on 9 hits and 3 walks. 2 home runs. One to Solari, one to Fetko. Barrios struck out 2. He departs with Winkle aboard. All right, while we have this moment, Adam, how about the pitcher for the month of May for the Lansing Lugnuts?
Yeah, I would go with Jeff Criswell. I know it's unfortunate that his near no-hitter happened in the last couple of days of April, but boy, did he build on that performance in May, and he showcased it yesterday with a season-high 11 strikeouts, but ERA under 3 in 5 starts, 37 strikeouts, just 13 walks, only gave up 3 home runs, only allowed 8 total earned runs. He was mighty impressive this past month.
That's something. If you could just sneak in that 7 innings, 1 hit, yeah. Scoreless ball against Lake County, and how good he would have been. All right, let's turn our attention to the Cedar Rapids Colonels for their players for May, position player and pitcher. But first, let's introduce the new Lugnuts pitcher. It's the right-hander from Saddlebrook, New Jersey. It is Edward Barham.
Yes, sir. Mr. Barham this year, ERA just under 7.5 through 12 games. He's given up 15 hits, 13 earned runs, only a couple home runs, though. 16 walks, 10 strikeouts. He has been a little inaccurate at times, but when he's showcased, he's got the command. He's a guy that can come in and get some outs for you, so hopefully he can eat up a few innings and get these pesky Colonels out because they brought their bats tonight.
It's a game like this that makes me really respect what Jeff Criswell, Daniel Martinez, and Trayson Kubo were able to do yesterday in only allowing one run.
Sometimes it's a little bit about luck, but a lot of it is you got to have good stuff, and certainly Criswell, he had it yesterday.
Well, those three pitchers struck out 16 Colonels in total. Wander Javier takes the off-speed, called strike one from Barham. Roddy Roddy, one out, and Winkle, the runner at first base for the Colonels, leading 8-0 with 2 runs in here in the fifth. The pitch, swing and a foul tip, out of the mitt of Lopez, and strike two. Barham has come out of the pen, delivering wrinkles to Javier, who has singled and walked, and been caught stealing. The pitch, fouled away, off to the right side. All right, looking at these Cedar Rapids Colonels, let's see who stands out to you, Adam, in the month of May. There are some interesting candidates. 0-2. Up and inside, and did it hit him on the hand or the bat? Home plate umpire Diedrich immediately says the hand and awards Wander Javier first base. Pat Winkle up to second. Javier hit by a pitch for just the first time this year. Barham, meanwhile, plunks his third batter. And he did so with 2 strikes. 2-1, one out for Kenny Taylor.
Yeah, Jesse, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this guy, he left with an injury yesterday, but Will Holland,
yes,
had a really nice month of May. OPS was at 857 through 21 games, 3 home runs, 3 triples, a couple doubles, and drove in 11.
Team leading 6 steals, too. A bouncer by Taylor, right side, second baseman Swift grabs, feeds on Jales at second, 1, forcing out Javier, and that is all. Winkle over to third base. Taylor on at first on the fielder's choice. 2 outs now, and the Colonels fifth. Yeah, Holland yesterday was spectacular defensively, but as he went back and made a tremendous leaping catch at the wall to rob Austin Beck, he banged into the wall hard. And in the end, in speaking with Thomas Bridge with Cedar Rapids, they were checking out his knee. He was pulled from the game for precautionary reasons. That's why he's not in today. Anthony Prado's the batter, and the first pitch misses for ball one. Knocked down well by Hanson Lopez. I like that look toward Holland. I could also toss Anthony Prado your way. 24 games in May, he scored 22 runs. The pitch. Tapper foul at home plate. One ball and one strike on Prado. Prado, five home runs, tied for the team lead with Sabato, who also left yesterday after getting hit by a pitch, although Thomas tells me it's not serious, just precautionary. The pitch. Prado takes it bouncing in. Away to second base to Kenny Taylor, as Hanson Lopez just keeps it with him up the third base side. Wild pitch. Edward Barham. All right, how about the pitchers for the Colonels? Who stands out?
How about Mr. Cabezas, Andrew Cabezas, pretty good May. No runs given up, Jesse.
There's a little flare, shallow right center, second baseman Swift out, waits, makes the catch, and the side retired. We saw Cabezas as a starter last year for the Colonels, and now forming part of a devastating bullpen look. Oh, by the way, give a look for Hedrick. We're going to see Brent Hedrick later on this series. Four starts, 19 in the third innings, two runs allowed. Sawyer Gibson Long's been pretty good as well. And as we go to the bottom half of the fifth inning, half of the house, he has two more runs added in support. He and the Colonels are leading the Lugnuts by an 8-0 score.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Sawyer Gibson Long continues on. And at the bottom half of the fifth inning, with the Colonels leading the Lansing Lugnuts 8-0. Gibson Long deals to Lawrence Butler batting left, the Lugnuts center fielder, the number five hitter in the order. First offering, a ground ball right of the mound. Diving stop to his right, second baseman Prado. From one knee, his throw to first is wide. Pulled Gray off the base, and Lawrence Butler is safe. It goes down as an infield single. An extraordinary effort play for Prado. Just to snag it with the dive was good. Just could not make that accurate throw to finish off the play. That is the Lugnuts' first hit of the game.
You'll take it any way you can get it. It was, as you said, a great effort by Prado, but Butler just a bit too far for him to stand up and make an accurate throw.
Johnny Butler now, 8-0 Colonels. Oh, weak, slow motion swing and a miss. He was fooled by the breaking ball. Strike one. Johnny flied to left field his first time. A. Rebiel Angeles is on deck for the Lugs. Number six batter hitting. Number five batter at first. Nobody out. Down by eight. Gibson Long nods. Deals. Ground ball chopped foul up the right side. Taking on Sawyer Gibson Long, the native of Woodstock, Georgia. Sawyer Gibson Long, as a senior in high school, GHSA, first team All-State, the Cherokee County 7A Pitcher of the Year. But he received only one offer out of high school. An 0-2 pitch for Johnny Butler out of Shanahan, Illinois. Changeup at the knees, strike three called. Strikeout number two for Gibson Long. Just the one college offer, and Gibson Long took it, and he was a Mercer Bear. And boy, Mercer, glad that they offered him. On his way to becoming the sixth highest draft selection in Mercer program history in 2019. First player from his conference selected. Righty, righty. To A. Rubiel Angeles. Skips in long deals. But Lawrence Butler runs as the pitch is grounded to short. Picked up by Javier. Throws to first. Angeles is out number two. Because Butler was running, that kept him out of the force play. Otherwise, that might have been a double play ball. And as it is, two outs, Lawrence is in scoring position for Josh Wainwright. Mel Sawyer, Gibson Long at Mercer. Led the Bears in innings. 23 appearances, 14 starts, 83 frames. 7 walks to 57 strikeouts his junior year leading up to him getting drafted. It heals to Josh Wainwright. Up high, ball one. Adam, I was talking to Thomas Breach earlier today, and Thomas said that Sawyer Gibson Long is so disciplined, now he plans out his days, that if Thomas wants to interview him, he has to schedule 4 days in advance. A ball one offering to right, 8-0 Colonels in the fifth. Head in the air to center field. So Larry backs up, he draws a bead, he waits, he's got it over his shoulder. And the Lugnuts have been shut out through five. You think he scheduled this out? Sawyer Gibson Long, 5-1 hit scoreless innings. He strands Lawrence Butler at second base, and we are on our way to the sixth. It is 8-0 Cedar Rapids from Lansing.
A friend told me she was being abused. I told her we should tell someone. She told me no and said that if I ever told anyone, I would lose her as a friend. I can't lose her friendship, but I was scared that if I said nothing, I would lose her to the abuse. I made a decision to submit a tip to OK to Say. I took the risk of losing my friend, but helping keep her safe was more important in the long run. If you know someone who's being abused and you want to talk but you're scared, that's okay. You can text OK to Say. That's 652729. All tipsters' identities are confidential.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Eight nothing Cedar Rapids Colonels through five from Lansing, Michigan. Leading off the top half of the sixth inning, Christian Encarnacion Strand. And the first offering from Edward Barham is roped down the left field line into the corner for extra bases. Johnny Butler plays it in. Encarnacion Strand stops at second base. He's got himself a leadoff double. That is double number 9 for him this year. Not only that, Encarnacion Strand had been 0-for-6 in this series, albeit with a walk his last time up. There's his first hit. And if his bat heats up, you watch out. He started off the season. His April was ridiculous. And the best possible way if you're a Twins fan or a Colonels fan. Seth Gray now takes a breaking ball inside from Edward Barham.
Ridiculous.
Yes. Can puncture a double. 1-0. Swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. Honestly, who's afraid of a moon?
Not him.
Seth Gray is 0-for-3 today. The number 3 hitter in the order is lined out and grounded out twice. The pitch, a slider sent high in the air out towards center. Lawrence Butler rounds right, makes the catch, and Encarnacion Strand tags. Lawrence Butler's throw to third, two hops in, tag, late by right. A feet-first slide, and Encarnacion Strand is in there.
Well, heck of an effort by Lawrence Butler. He almost got that there in time. That ball just kept carrying out there. The wind blowing out towards right. That one going to left center, but Butler just kept having to go back, and Encarnacion Strand took advantage and got over to third.
It is 8-0 Colonels. They're 90 feet away from making it 9-0, and here's Kyler Fedko. Slider buried down and away, ball one. Oh, Kyler Fedko. if the Lugnuts are looking for a player on this Colonel's squad to blame for being down 8 runs, Kyler Fedko is at the top of the list. RBI single, run scored in the first. Single, run scored in the third. Home run in the fifth. Righty, righty, one down. Encarnacion Strand a couple of steps away from third base. Center fielder Lawrence Butler to right center. The pitch, again low. 2 balls, no strikes on Fedko. Brett Harris distinguished himself with the Lugnuts. Got promoted up to Double A Midland. And Harris already has a base hit today and a run scored. Knocked in by Jordan Diaz, the former Lugnut. This pitch misses down and inside. And it's 3 balls and no strikes on Fedko. Harris is now hitting .438. And the Midland Rockhounds are leading the Amarillo Sod Poodles, the Soddies, by a 1-0 score. The pitch up and inside. Fedko's on again. 4-pitch walk given out by Edward Barham.
What do you think? Can we call the Lugnuts the Sodies?
For Tyler Soderstrom?
Yeah.
I could go with that.
I mean, at least for the month of May, if we're going to give him, you know, our broadcaster awards.
You're going to have to help me because this is not quite in its final form yet. But Soderstrom is a strong hitter. Would we say that he has Soder pop?
I like it.
Junior Severino takes the off-speed down and away, ball one.
A Soder bomb?
There's something there. Fedko at first, and Encarnacion Strand at third base, one out. Lugnuts look for two. The pitch, swing and a miss. Ball and a strike on Severino. DHing today with an RBI triple, a single, and 2 runs scored. Here it comes. Check swing. It's down. On appeal, did not go. Junior Severino, you know who originally signed him, Adam?
Who you got?
The Atlanta Braves. And the Braves penalized their GM, banned from baseball. Severino takes ball three outside. John Coppolella. And they had 13 free agent signings vacated. And Junior Severino was one of them. The most high profile was Kevin Maiton. And so suddenly all 13 of those prospects became free agents. The pitch. Severino takes it outside. Ball four. 5-pitch walk. Loads the bases for Alaric Soleri. And so Severino signed with the Minnesota Twins after being declared a free agent from the Atlanta Braves. And I found an article when this all went down back in 2017. The 13 players all listed out. Pitching coach Don Schulze out to visit Edward Barham. 8-0 Cedar Rapids. Looking for more with the bases loaded. One out and the top of the sixth inning. And then I started to trace where all those players are. All those great prospects that the Braves hit. Illegally signing. And all of those contracts vacated. For example, there was Ji-Won Bae out of South Korea. He is now in AAA. He was signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates, playing for the Indianapolis Indians, and he looks great. Slashing .293, .376, .490 through his first 43 games with Indianapolis. It seems to me that he's going to be a big-time part of the Pirates moving forward. There's Guillermo Zuniga. Do you know that name? We saw him pitch for the Great Lakes Loons in 2019. Mm-hmm. He's in AA for the Dodgers now. Well, there's Severino at first, Fedko at second, and Encarnacion Strand at third as Alaric Soleri takes ball one outside.
Dodgers just, or the Loons rather, just enhanced their lineup.
They brought up the number one prospect in the Dodgers system. The pitch fouled off. Strike one to Soleri. Diego Cartaya, the catcher. Brad Tenney looked it up. How many number one overall Dodgers prospects have they ever had there in Great Lakes? The pitch outside from Barham. 2 balls, 1 strike on Soleri on that slider. This is the very first.
Pretty remarkable because they have such an elite system. A lot of good talent in the Dodgers organization.
All right, 2-1 hitter's pitch. Soleri takes it inside. Alaric Soleri today is 1-for-2 with a 3-run homer. A walk, a steal, and a 2 runs scored. And here he is, bases loaded. A 3-1. Inside for ball four. And Barham has walked in a run. And Encarnacion Strand comes in from third. three straight walks after the great fly out to center. It is 9-0 Colonels, and there's nobody warming up in the Lugnuts pen.
Well, this is what we talked about with Edward Barham. Sometimes the command just escapes him, and he's just got to lock back in, see if he can get ahead here.
Pat Winkle takes strike, called on the outside corner. And now Diego Granado, the native of Las Tunas, Cuba, is warming for the Lugnuts down the right side. He's just started to throw. Left-handed batter, righty deals. Lofted line drive, right side, hooking down the line. Beck over into the corner to make the catch. Runners tag from second and third. So Larry stays at first, all the while Fedco scores from third, and Severino advances to third. Sack fly Winkle. 10-0 Cedar Rapids. Two outs now for Wander Javier. Runners at the corners for the Colonels.
Well, that's one of those balls where Pat Winkle's probably pretty frustrated that he gets just a sack fly out of it. He hit it pretty well, but back speed, able to get over there in time. It hung up just enough, and only one run comes in.
Wander Javier takes strike, called on the outside corner. Wander is one for one. He has a single, he has a walk, he has an HBP. The pitch to him. Fly down the right side, twisting into the corner for Beck. He chases it, and it falls just foul. So, no balls, two strikes on Wander Javier.
Well, I think the Lugnuts fortunate that the wind is blowing out towards right, and that probably helped the ball just enough because it just went to the right of that line there, almost snuck in the corner.
So Larry back to first, Severino back to third. Two runs in, two men on, two outs, and a two-strike pitch. Righty throws to righty. Barham sets, deals. Outside, ball one. And if you were wondering, boy, is there any action down in the Cedar Rapids pen? There is not. Not with the way Sawyer Gibson Long is throwing 46 pitches through five scoreless innings. Javier skies one foul out of play to the right. We stay 1-2.
You know, I was wondering, Jesse, so thank you for updating us.
You got it. Seven Colonels batted in the fifth. This is the seventh Colonel here in the sixth. 10-0 Cedar Rapids. Pitch on its way. A ground ball down toward third, grabbed by right to his left. Feeds second. Swift forces at Solari. Side retired.
So was it to his right or was it to his left?
Joshua Wright went left. Right, right. Two runs in, one hit, three walks, two stranded. One of those stranded was not Christian Encarnacion Strand. 5.5 complete. It's the Colonels 10. The Lugnuts nothing.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
Last of the sixth inning, 10-0 Colonels on top of the Lugnuts. Sawyer Gibson Long's first pitch fouled away to the right side. by Lugnuts catcher Hanson Lopez. Gibson Lung plays a five-string mini guitar, plays the piano. He's orchestrating sweet music here today. Five shutout innings, one hit ball for the right-hander. He deals. Hanson Lopez takes a pitch upstairs. Ball and a strike on the Lugnuts number nine hitter in the order, followed by the top parts, Swift and Maciel, and then maybe Soderstrom and Beck. Righty throws to righty. Lopez takes a breaking ball, swerving down and away, and it's two balls and a strike. I remember Adam talking to Jeff Criswell last year about his own musical ability. Hitter's pitch on 2-1. Lopez takes, down and in, ball three. Because I found out with Criswell, what, he played the trumpet, he played the trombone, he played a number of musical instruments.
Cello, I believe.
Yeah, and I asked him, did he still keep that up? And he said, turns out I'm a better pitcher than a musician. The deal, high and outside. Lopez walks for a second time. Gibson Long has only walked two. He has walked Lopez twice. Makes it weird for me to say that he's walked two batters when both batters have had the same name and it's the same individual.
How about that, though? It shows you for Hanson Lopez. I mean, this has not been an easy guy to get aboard on tonight, and he's done it twice.
Drew Swift is the batter. Right-hander versus right-hander. Lugnuts down by 10 in the sixth. The pitch. Breaking ball down low. Ball one. Well, that walk by Lopez working the pitch count for Gibson Long up to 52 now. With ball one for Swift. 52 pitches. It's the bottom of the sixth. He's been brilliant. A native of Woodstock, Georgia. Speaking of music, Woodstock, 1-0, high, ball two. Or, you know, the Peanuts. If that's what you first think about with Woodstock, out to the mound goes the catcher Winkle.
Here in Lansing, though, of course, the Peanuts, you go to the Peanut store.
Yeah. We have a good friend, the minor leaguer, big in Blue Jays Twitter. Mm-hmm. And whenever I come up to visit Toronto, he places his order for what he would like delivered to Toronto and all the friends from the Peanut Store.
Such a great spot here in downtown Lansing.
Two-ball pitch to Drew Swift. Fastball for a called strike. Drew taking the entire way. Swift twice is grounded out. He opened up the bottom of the first inning, smoking the first pitch that he saw right through the glove of Gibson Long, but right to second baseman Prado. Gibson Long delivers. Swift chops it left side. Shortstop Javier grabs. Throws to second one. Prado over to first. Not in time. Swift too speedy. Fielder's choice. One gone. Swift takes Lopez's spot at first base. And the batter will be Gabriel Maciel.
Just to put the Peanut Store up there in terms of gems in Lansing. Right on par with our good friend Horrocks. Iconic spots.
So Horrocks is a grocery store, but that diminishes it to it's a grocery store.
Oh, it's amazing.
Gabriel Maciel, switch hitter batting left. First pitch. Sliced deep down the left field line, but twisting foul just below the Pepsi porch. Bounces right behind the Cedar Rapids bullpen. I'm not a foodie. Are you? Because it overstimulates me. It's too many choices.
No, but I like all the options.
Maciel is grounded out and popped out. Swift at first, down by 10. One gone. The righty deals. That, too, is hit foul in the air down the left side. Speaking with the Colonel's folks, they were all catching up on their way here on the bus. They were talking about how they were going to see Gabriel Maciel once again, a Colonel in 2018, 2019, and 2021. Here's the pitch. Maciel laces it to center field and down for a base hit in front of Soleri. Swift stops at second. Soleri plays it into short. A single from Maciel. He's a very easy guy to appreciate, Gabriel Maciel, when you watch him play baseball on a daily basis. Let's say there's an opening in AA Midland. I don't know. For an outfielder, there are some great candidates to move up, and Maciel is one of them. Here's Tyler Soderstrom, left-handed hitting, the first baseman today. The pitch, he swings and misses. That's good off speed for strike one. Soderstrom is grounded out twice, once to first and then once to second, but there's a star next to it on my scorecard because Anthony Prado made such a fine play to rob him of a base hit. 2-1-1 gone, down 10-0 to Cedar Rapids. Gibson long to the plate. Swing and a miss on the breaking ball. 0-2. Austin Beck waits on deck. And in the Lugnuts pen, Diego Granado is warming up. We shall see him, I believe, for the seventh inning. An 0-2 toss to Soderstrom. Swing and a miss. Struck him out with a breaking ball in. Strikeout number 3 for Gibson Long. He does not have many, but the strikeouts that he has are impressive strikeouts. He struck out Austin Beck to end the fourth inning. He struck out Johnny Butler looking, and now he gets Soderstrom on 3 pitches in the sixth. I think Gibson Long has looked fairly decent today, to put it mildly. Here's Austin Beck's third at bat. A fly out, a strikeout. Righty to righty, 2-1-2 gone. Outside, ball one, a first pitch fastball. The Colonels outscoring the Lugnuts 10-0, out hitting them 10-2 this evening. Game 2 of the 6-game series. Nuts won the opener 6-1. Speaking of Nuts, the pitch, breaking ball down and away. 2 balls, no strikes, as Adam was earlier this inning. Wind is blowing steadily across the field from left to right. There are parts of the first base area that are still in the sunlight. Everywhere else is in the shade. Here's the pitch. Beck lifts it foul, out of play off to the right side. There's a fastball in on the hands. And it's 2 balls and 1 strike. So right now, if you're the first base coach Craig Conklin, or you're the first baseman Seth Gray, or you're the personal protector in the Lugnuts pen, you've got the sun in your eyes. Nobody else does. Gibson Long's 2-1. A strike called on the outside corner at the letters. Beck thought maybe it was away, and he thought maybe it was up. And a fastball nipped the zone. 2 balls and 2 strikes, and Austin Beck out of Lexington, North Carolina. Swift at second, Maciel at first, 2 away. And now the break even, on its way. Breaking ball down and away, and it's 3 balls and 2 strikes. Runners will be in motion as the Lugnuts look for their first runs of the game. On deck, Lawrence Butler. And action has started in the Cedar Rapids pen. There go the runners with this payoff pitch. Beck fouls it away in the air to the right side. The right-hander who has just started warming up for the Twins High A affiliate, Orlando Rodriguez, the native of Miami, Florida. Here we go once again. Swift and Maciel, the runners, second and first. Payoff. Back lines this one foul over the Lugnuts pen into the bleachers on the right side.
Man, this is a great battle right here. Austin Beck laying off pitches out of the zone, getting pieces of ones that are in the zone, staying alive here at 3-2 against a guy that, as Jesse's talked about, has dominated these Lugnuts through 5 2/3 tonight.
I had the chance to sit down with Beck and talk with him all about his advanced approach entering this year. And on the mound, the pitcher steps off the rubber. That's just his first time stepping off the rubber here. Sawyer Gibson Long, 6'4", 225 pounds, against the 6-foot, 195-pound, powerful Austin Beck. A look back at Swift at second. A 3-2 pitch. Beck swings and lofts it to right field. That ball falls in front of Fedko for a base hit. Swift is all the way around to score. Maciel for third. Beck for second to throw in time for the tag from shortstop Javier. Beck is gone, and the inning is over. Now credit Austin Beck with the RBI single, but when he saw the throw coming in toward third with Maciel going first to third, he tried to move himself in a scoring position, and the Colonels cut him down. Lansing trails 10-1 as we go to the seventh, and Adam Jackson returns with the call of the game when we resume.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Meet Keith, loving dad, board game champ, bus driving pro.
I drive 65,000 miles in my bus each year. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. Like how there are some things I simply can't see. On my route the other day, a car tried to sneak past me and ends up right in my blind spot. I turned slowly, so accident avoided. But no car should be in the blind spot for a 40,000-pound bus. It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hi, I'm Nick Bertoia. I'm the corporate sales manager here with the Lansing Lugnuts. If you're a business looking to plan a fun outing to reward employees, treat clients, and build team morale, give me a call at 517-827-2598 to talk more about our great group venues. Now back to Lugnuts Baseball. Go Nuts.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, here's Adam Jaxa.
Ah, our good friend Alex Jensen, one of the greats. Thanks so much for coming back with us in the top of the seventh. It is all the Minnesota Twins high affiliate up 10-1. Diego Granato's first pitch, a little bit outside, ball one. 9-1-2 due up in this seventh inning. Kenny Taylor at the plate against the righty, followed by Anthony Prado and Christian Encarnacion Strand. The pitch, fastball darts in at 93, 1-1. You going to say something over there? You look like you're ready. We'll see after this pitch if Jesse's got some info. The 1-0. High bouncer off the plate to the left of second. Scooped low by Angele. Spins behind second base, over in the second base position, but can't quite get the throw in time. Heck of an effort. That'll be an infield single for Taylor. There's one on to start this seventh inning.
Diego Granato, signed by the Oakland Athletics as a free agent back in 2019 out of Cuba. Last time that we saw him on the mound, it was May 27th, pitching in game one of the doubleheader at Beloit, 2 1/3 scoreless innings for Granato, coming in a 4.58 ERA, league batting 289 against the right-hander from Cuba.
Anthony Prado steps in, and the pitch down low, ball one. 10-1 our score in the seventh. The Nuts giving up 3 runs in the first, 3 in the 3rd, 2 in the 5th, and 2 more in the 6th to the Colonels. The pitch. That jets in there, strike one. Colonels looking for some payback after an impressive 6-1 victory yesterday. Jeff Criswell going 5 2/3, getting 11 strikeouts, couple home runs, Armenteros and Soderstrom. 1-1, swinging a tapper back. 1-2. But today, it has been the exact opposite. Early runs for the Colonels, although they did take a 1-0 lead yesterday on the home run from this man, Anthony Prado. But Sawyer Gibson Long has been nearly untouchable. Only 3 hits allowed and the 1 run just given up. The pitch, that's down low. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Jesse, have you told the folks about the Cedar Rapids Colonel logo?
I have not.
Well, I got some divulging to look into under this logo. I want to get your thoughts on
this. Okay.
The 2-2. In on the hand, swing and a miss, and there's the first strikeout and out recorded for Diego Granato. One away in the seventh with 1 on. So if you're by a computer or your phone, go ahead and just Google search Cedar Rapids Colonel so you can follow along here. It is, I think, a pretty unique logo. Tying in baseball and corn, the pitch inside. Down low to Christian Encarnacion Strand. It's a bat standing as a stalk with the green of the stalks coming off the sides like corn. The bat, gold and red with a cap and the face on the bat. The pitch, that gets away from Lopez and goes back to the backstop. Up to second goes Taylor. And a pass ball as Kenny Taylor is at second. Encarnacion Strand up 2-0. So I love everything about this logo. Jesse, the only issue I have here
Wait,
is...
Wait, I thought you said you love everything about it.
Yeah, besides this. The Colonel logo here looks like a grumpy old man. Not very inviting. It's like a mischievous smile that he's got on his face, but it kind of duels as a grumpy man. These are young, healthy baseball players out there. The 2-0. That's inside. Three balls, no strikes. Is that too much?
That isn't too much. It's like, not bad for your logo to look a little bit grumpy, though.
But it's very grumpy old man. I don't get the enticing or the intimidation factor. The pitch, that's in there. Strike one. Don't you want your logo to be intimidating?
See, I would call the expression on that baseball bat's face to be one of toughness and confidence.
Okay, and I get old man. 3-1. That's in there. Strike two. Nice job by Granato working back on Encarnacion Strand to 3-2. Could be just me, but give it a Google search. See what you think. 3-2 pitch from Granato. That's whacked foul.
While you're Google searching, you might as well look up Mr. Shucks while you're at it.
Oh, okay.
The wonderful Colonel's baseball-headed mascot.
I don't even know how to spell this, but... Oh, there we go. Well, yeah, he's got a baseball for a head. How about that? 3-2. Swing and a foul tip. Held on to by Hanson Lopez. Strike three. Back-to-back Ks for Diego Granato. It is, of course, 10-1 here in the seventh. But Granato getting a couple of strikeouts. Only four strikeouts tonight for the Colonels. Grumpy looking or not, they've done a nice job at the plate. 10 runs on 11 hits and good defensively, no errors. Runner at second, two outs. Here's Seth Gray. The pitch. That's down low. Ball one.
The other thing about the Colonels logo is it establishes the fact that they have basically four colors. Usually teams have what? Two primary colors that they work off of one another. But the Colonels, it's the red, it's the blue, but also there's green and gold.
1-0. That's on the outside part of the plate, just off the edge. Two balls and no strikes. All in all, I think it is a pretty creative logo that they've got there. And of course, yes, there is lots of corn in Iowa. 2-0, no strikes on the lefty, Seth Gray. Swing and a miss. 93, and it's 2-1.
Adam, you've also pulled up what their logo used to be before this rebrand, which is the red, the primary red and silver with the baseball poking out of the ear of corn.
That almost looks like a blooming flower. The 2-1. Down low. 3-0 and a strike. That more so that old school logo there with the baseball kind of fits in more with their mascot with the baseball head.
Yes.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, High A affiliate of the Minnesota Twinkies. The Lugnuts, the High A affiliate of our Oakland Athletics. 3-1 pitch from Granato. That's fly back and out of play. 3-2 on a calm evening in Lansing. Wind has stayed steady around 5 to 10 miles an hour tonight. Sun is fading to the west of the park. A 75-degree night. Good night for baseball, but it's been all Colonels. 3-2 inside, and that's ball four, and there are two aboard with two outs in the seventh.
You mentioned the Twins, one of my favorite nicknamed tie-ins with the minor leagues. Evansville used to be AAA and for the Twins, and so because they were AAA and they were associated with the Twins, they went by the Triplets.
What makes these teams unique? Play off the city.
You've heard me advocate for us to be the Lansing High A's.
The pitch popped up right side of the infield, fading out towards the outfield, actually. Back comes in underneath of it, makes the catch, And the Lansing Lugnuts get out of this seventh inning. Couple of strikeouts for Diego Granado, and he leaves a walk and a base hit stranded. Bottom seven is next. Seventh inning stretch is coming up. Lugnuts trailing 10-1 at Jackson Field. Back for the bottom of the seventh, Lansing trailing 10-1. Thanks for joining us on your Wednesday evening. It'll be Lawrence Butler, Johnny Butler, and Aribeo Angeles as the Nuts trying to come back from a 9-run deficit. Good news is the starter has been removed. The pitch, and that's down low, ball one. No more of Sawyer Gibson Long. He was excellent tonight through six innings. It is Orlando Rodriguez, the right-hander, that is stepped up for the Twins' high A affiliate. A righty out of Miami. The pitch way inside. Two balls, no strikes. Party in the city when the heat is on. Steps back, kicks and fires. That's sent foul up towards the suite level to our left. Two balls, one strike on Lawrence Butler, who is one for two tonight.
Seventh appearance for Rodriguez with Cedar Rapids, signed as a free agent last year.
The 2-1 kicked back off the door down low at the concourse level, downfield level, 2-2.
Yeah, he's faced 34 batters, Adam. He's only allowed three hits. Now eight walks. The command has not been great. At least one walk per inning he's averaging, but 11 strikeouts.
Next pitch. Hammered, right field side, base hit as it skips between Gray and Prado at first and second. Butler has two of the four hits tonight for the Nuts.
It was a curveball that hung up there just a little bit, and Lawrence Butler, though he was out in front, still kept that bat back and whipped it through.
In the meantime, what a night for Gibson Long. Six innings, only three hits and one run allowed. Two walks, three strikeouts. But he shut down this Nuts offense and has been really good at home this year. Johnny Butler takes the pitch in, ball one. All right, so we asked you a trivia question back in the fourth inning. And we'll give you an answer to that trivia question here. It's the 1-0 to the lefty. That slides in there a little bit low. Two balls, no strikes. We asked you what was the date that Lou Gehrig started his historic playing streak of 2,130 consecutive games in Major League Baseball, the second most all-time behind Cal Ripken Jr. The 2-0. That nips the outside corner. Two balls and a strike. Jesse, did we get any answers in the email inbox tonight?
We did. We got a guess of June 1st, 1925.
Well, how about that? That is absolutely correct.
Leanne Cook.
Oh, she doesn't miss a beat. The pitch popped high into the light blue sky. Right field side coming in is Fedko. He calls off his two teammates, takes an extra step to his left at the last second, makes the catch, and there's one away. I thought it might be a little tricky. Everybody knows the story about Lou Gehrig and replacing Wally Pipp, but it was actually the day before, this day, 97 years ago, back on June 1st, 1925, that he pinch hit late in a game, and that's when the streak started, the pitch. A rebail, Angeles stands in, takes strike one. It was June 1st, Gehrig entering the game as a pinch hitter, substituting for the shortstop, Paul Pee-wee Waniger.
I beg your pardon?
The 0-1, and that's fouled back. No balls, two strikes. Yeah. And then, of course, it was the next day, the infamous headache that caused the scratch from the lineup. And then the phrase, Wally Pipped, the 0-2. Sliced high out to shallow left field, foul territory, Encarnacion. Strand reaches up over the railing, makes a backhand catch. Great grab for the second out.
We really have seen fine Cedar Rapids Colonels defense today and yesterday, too. The Colonels have played some superb defense. Just to go back to Wally Pipp, have you ever heard the theory that his headache that caused him to miss the game, that he actually was dealing with a concussion?
I have heard that. First pitch, up and in, ball one to Joshua Wright. There's a ton of different theories, too, on why Wally Pipp didn't play that day. Some of them saying that he was benched, the 1-0. That's inside, two balls, no strikes. The New York Sun reported that the benching was due to Pipp's struggles against left-handed pitchers, as southpaw George Mogridge was the scheduled starting pitcher for the Washington Senators that day on June 2nd. The pitch, that's foul, two balls and a strike. And then there were other sources suggesting that at the time, Yankee manager Miller Huggins may have actually benched Pipp and other veterans in order to just shake up the slumping lineup. So there's all sorts of theories. The big one, the headache for Wally Pipp. The 2-1, bouncing ball off the plate. One hops back to the front of the mound. Rodriguez grabs, throws low, basically a squatting lunge down there from Gray at first to make the catch. And that's going to do it. So, your lesson today. If you get a headache, maybe try and tough it out. But if not, that's okay, too. We're through seven. It's 10-1. Colonels over the Nuts. Jesse Goldberg-Strassler takes you the rest of the way when we return to Jackson Field.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equals healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Well, here's the Nuts and Bolts store, your one-stop shop for all Lugnuts gear. We have a great selection of hats, shirts, novelty items, hardware, new stuff arriving every week. So stop on by and check out the great Nuts and Bolts selection.
This is Alex Jensen, voice of the Stockton Ports, single-A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. You're tuned in to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the game. With Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
I am Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, back at Jackson Field with the DJ to my left, Adam Jaxa. And the score is 10-1 in favor of the Cedar Rapids Colonels as we open up the eighth. Junior Severino batting left. Righty Diego Granado's first pitch down low, ball one, from the Lugnuts reliever. Severino followed by Soleri and then Winkle for the Colonels. Junior Severino batting fifth in the order, DHing here tonight, 2-for-3 with a walk. The pitch from Granato. Backdoor breaking ball called a strike, and it's 1-1. RBI triple and a single to go along with the walk. Two runs scored for Soleri, or I should say for Severino. Here it comes from Granato, down and away. And 2 balls and 1 strike on Severino. Center fielder Lawrence Butler is playing deep and out toward left center. Pitch is on its way. On the inside corner, strike 2 called on the Granato fastball. Coming up tomorrow night, it will be a Labatt Blue Thirsty Thursday. $2 domestics, $5 crafts. Here's the 2-2. Up high, very high, with the catcher Lopez jumping up to receive. It is full on Severino. Tomorrow night as well, it's going to be a tribute to Keanu Reeves night. And so Terry Alipert, the great production man here, has been doing some work. Payoff. Inside, ball 4. Severino is on again. He draws his second walk. He reaches base for a 4th time. It is the second walk given out by Granato. It is the 8th walk drawn by Cedar Rapids. And now here's Alaric Soleri, who is 1-for-2, a strikeout, a 3-run homer, and 2 walks, including an RBI walk in the 6th. Righty to righty. Fastball called a strike on the outside corner. Yeah, Adam, I can't wait to see what Terry has up his sleeve and the entertainment staff for tomorrow's surreptitious Keanu Reeves tribute night. The pitch, up high, 1 ball, 1 strike. 10-1 Colonels here today.
Folks dressed like Keanu Reeves in some of his great movies.
Yeah, which movie? Because there's a huge contrast. This pitch breaks outside. You want to go by Neo, or you want to go by Ted Theodore Preston, Esquire. Wait, John. Or am I confusing Ted with Bill? It's Bill S. Preston, Esquire, isn't it? But Ted and Neo, different clothing looks. Here's a called strike on the outside corner.
John Wick?
Yeah. Point Break. You could have some great fun. That's tomorrow on a Labatt Blue Thirsty Thursday, and then Friday is going to be a Copa Day. Granato's 2-2. Outside, 3 balls and 2 strikes.
I've never seen the John Wick series, and it's one that it's been on my list that I've heard I need to see. I want to see.
By the way, Ted's last name in the Bill and Ted movies, Theodore Logan. Should have known that. The pitch. That's down low, and that's ball 4 for Soleri. Now the first 2 batters are on. And that'll bring up Pat Winkle, but first, here comes Don Schulze out to visit the mound. Do you know anything about what the John Wick movies are about?
I don't. Just know that they're intense from what I hear. Action-packed.
It's very simple. Keanu Reeves is John Wick. Okay?
Uh-huh.
He's going to enjoy a lovely life. Except, and today is a dog days of summer, and if you know the movie, you know what I'm getting at. Keanu Reeves has a dog. Do not hurt his dog. Bad things will happen.
It's a man's best friend.
Somebody messes with John Wick's dog, and bad things happen. And there you go, Adam. I just summed up the movies for you.
All right, now I know what to expect.
Pat Winkle is coming up next. Severino at second, Soleri at first base. Winkle is 1-for-3 with an RBI single and a sac fly. There's nobody out. Colonels are up 10-1.
Is it the Matrix with the great lobby scene that Keanu
yes.
really comes to life? Or Neo, as you say? Man, that's a great scene.
Mr. Anderson.
Yes. Mr. Anderson.
So that's tomorrow. It's going to be fun. Then Friday night, we're going to have our first bobblehead giveaway of the year, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. bobblehead. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. home run counter bobblehead presented by Sparrow. Ready for action, two on, none out, 10-1 Colonels. Granato throws. Pat Winkle takes a fastball called a strike on the outside corner.
Yeah, folks are going to have to come ready to work for bobblehead night. They've got some catching up to do on the home run counter.
Letting Locos will be in action on Friday. Vamos, Locos. The pitch. Breaking ball around the outside corner. A one ball and one strike. Wander Javier is on deck. This is the bottom part of the Cedar Rapids lineup. Winkle, the number 7 hitter. Here's the pitch. Winkle a check swing. Strike called outer edge. Pat Winkle out of Orange, Connecticut. And time requested by the batter. So, yes, Friday night, Copa de la Diversión. Locos against these Colonels. Last year, I remember, we got to see Cedar Rapids with their Copa jerseys. Here's the pitch. That's down and away. Cedar Rapids, Iowa, Adam, is the city of five seasons. And so their Copa identity is Las Cinco Estaciones de Cedar Rapids. The five seasons of Cedar Rapids. The 2-2. Outside corner, strike three called. Winkle has gone on strikes. Strikeout number 3 for Granato. And one away in the 8th. Do you know what the 5th season is in Cedar Rapids, Iowa?
Summer,
yes.
Fall,
yes.
Spring,
right?
Winter,
okay.
Extreme winter. Did I do that right?
You're not close, or maybe you're very close. Maybe. Wander Javier takes a strike called on the outside corner. It is a season for enjoying all of the other seasons. That is the 5th season. Cedar Rapids, the city of five seasons, Las Cinco Estaciones. You should check out that logo.
I was right in the ballpark.
Yes, you were. And you're literally in the ballpark as Javier takes a ball outside. Wander Javier is 1-for-2 with a single. He has also walked, and he's been plunked. At second, Severino, and at first base, Soleri. The Colonels are batting up 10-1 in the 8th. There's one out. The pitch. Strike called, outer edge, 1-2.
It gets cold in Michigan, Jesse, but then there's another level of appreciation for how cold it gets in Iowa and at the parent level in Minnesota.
You said it. More action in the Lansing pen. 1-2 pitch. Line drive left field. That ball is caught by Johnny Butler coming in. And the runners retreat. A star next to it on the scorecard. Butler digging in toward the infield with the backhand snag of a sinking Javier line drive. Two gone.
That's a really difficult play because we've been in this half inning now, four batters in, and the first three balls didn't get put in play. So it's a lot of standing out there in the field with a couple of walks and a strikeout. That's a low line drive. Great grab by Butler.
Here's Kenny Taylor. Taylor takes a strike called on the outside corner. The man warming up in the Lugnuts bullpen, by the way, is Patrick McCall, who started yesterday at first base. 10-1 Colonels, 2-1, 2 out. And Granato to Taylor. That's called strike two. Slide piece. Taylor batting 9th, 1-for-4 with a single. He also collected a single yesterday, replacing Will Holland later in the game. Granato's pitch, a fastball rifled outside. One ball, two strikes. The Lugnuts opened this game up with Osvaldo Barrios, went 4 1/3 innings, 9 hits, 3 walks, 8 runs. Edward Barron then in inning and 2/3, he allowed 2 runs, 3 walks and a hit, and now Diego Granato. A 1-2 for Taylor. Outside. Ball two. If you would like to get tickets to see these Lugnuts in action against the Colonels, or you know, the Lansing Locos on Friday, go to LansingLugnuts.com or call 517-485-4500. 517-485-4500. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. High cheddar from Granato. Taylor's gone on strikes. Two strikeouts in the 7th for Diego Granato and two more in the 8th. He stranded 2 in the 7th. He strands 2 more in the 8th. 2 walks to open up the frame. They never budged from 1st and 2nd. So to the bottom of the eighth inning, and the Lugnuts will have Lopez, Swift, and Maciel coming up, trailing 10-1 to the Colonels.
My folks are out of town this weekend. I raided their medicine cabinet and got a bunch of good stuff.
Did you get any Vicodin? I need my fix.
Yeah, right here. There's more where that came from, too.
Drug abuse could be right around the corner. You can help. That passing comment could be a clue.
My folks are out of town again this weekend. Farm party at my house?
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
Hey, Brian, come here for a sec.
What's up?
You know that loser in our class? I heard he crossed out people's pictures in his yearbook. Creepy, right?
Yeah, I heard him say everyone is against him and they'll be sorry.
Violence could be right around the corner. That passing comment could be a warning sign.
And I thought I saw a gun in his backpack.
Speak up. If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, contact OK to Say.
You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball, High A affiliate of the Oakland Athletics. Now, let's head back to the ballpark. Alongside Adam Jaxa, here's Jesse Goldberg-Strassler.
The Cedar Rapids Colonels are on top of the Lugnuts 10-1. Hanson Lopez batting bottom of the eighth. Takes a fastball up from Orlando Rodriguez, ball one. Rodriguez, the right-hander for the Colonels, against the Lugnuts catcher Lopez, followed by Swift and Maciel, 9-1 and 2 for Lansing. Pitch is on its way. Breaking ball, hooking in for a called strike. Hanson Lopez came up twice, walked twice, against the Cedar Rapids starter Sawyer Gibson Long. Rodriguez steps back, lifts the leg. Here it comes. Outside. Two balls and one strike. Rodriguez entered out of the pen for Gibson Long to begin the seventh. Allowed a leadoff single and set down the next three. Delivers a slider down and away. Now the count goes to three balls and one strike. He's shown off a full complement of pitches. Orlando Rodriguez out of Miami, Florida, against Hanson Lopez from Mexico. A 3-1. A fastball fouled off over the netting and just below us here in the press box area. Three balls and two strikes. There are two Rodriguezes in the bullpen, by the way, for Cedar Rapids. The other, Miguel Rodriguez from Maracay, Venezuela. Payoff. Outside corner, strike three called. Hanson Lopez thought maybe it was outside. First strikeout for Orlando Rodriguez. And one down in the bottom of the eighth inning. Let's go up to the top of the order and Drew Swift. There was a fascinating stat about Orlando Rodriguez in the Cedar Rapids game notes as made up by Thomas Breach, that he throws great first pitch strikes. Let's see here. Well, not to Swift. It's up and in. A curveball didn't curve. Ball one. Throws 64.7% first pitch strikes, but just 54.9% total strikes. The ball one pitch on its way, righty to righty. Up and inside with a fastball. Careful. Two balls and no strikes. Swift is 0 for 3. Reached on a fielder's choice his last time and scored the Lugnuts' only run, down 10-1. The pitch, that's outside, and it's now ball three. Orlando Rodriguez starting the season in Fort Myers, then promoted to Cedar Rapids May 2nd. 3-0. Inside ball four. He has walked Swift. There's his struggle in throwing strikes. And a one-out base on balls brings up Gabriel Maciel. It's a 10-1 Cedar Rapids lead. They don't have too many concerns. Adam, you were looking at the Midwest League scoreboard.
Yes, I was. Full slate of games on this Wednesday night.
Can I tell you what I was looking up? Gabriel Maciel swings away, pops the first pitch foul off to the left side. You're telling the story about Lou Gehrig and the start of the Iron Man streak, the Iron Horse. And you mentioned Pee Wee Wanninger, or Wanninger, however it was pronounced. And so I typed peewee into Baseball Reference just to see how many peewees I could find. The righty deals. Maciel takes a ball high. Ball at a strike now. So, of course, Pee Wee Reese, the Hall of Famer. Larry Boa had the nickname Pee Wee, in addition to Nat or Bo. Nate Oliver had the nickname of Pee Wee, so did Greg Briley. There was Pee Wee Jenkins, who played in the 1940s. The pitch fouled straight to the netting. And Pee Wee Tommy Butts, an all-star who played in the 1930s and 40s. And then there were four minor leaguers, Pee Wee Burley, Pee Wee Lopez, a different Pee Wee Butts, and Pee Wee Malazzo. 1920s, 1950s, Pee Wee Lopez played 96 through 2002. Maciel takes a breaking ball inside, and it's two balls and two strikes. I just had to answer that question for myself. How many peewees have there been in baseball over the years? There was also a Pee Wee Minor. There are these baseball names, man. Lars Nootbaar. 2-2 pitch. Maciel takes outside. Three balls and two strikes. All right, now back to the Midwest League scoreboard.
Well, hang on. I want to know, if you get the nickname Pee Wee,
yes,
are you kind of bummed that that's your nickname, or you just, like, embrace it? And it's kind of one of the great nicknames, I feel like.
I mean, if you're Pee Wee Reese, you embrace it all the way to Cooperstown. Payoff, runner moves, down and away, ball four. Back-to-back walks given out by Rodriguez. Swift to second, Maciel on at first. There's one out for Tyler Soderstrom. Lugnuts down 10-1, last of the eighth. Wait, hang on. Do you know how tall Pee Wee Reese was? Speaking as somebody who stands 5'6" tall and a quarter.
Wow.
Pee Wee Reese listed at. Soderstrom takes, breaking ball in, ball one. 5'10".
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
No. I was anticipating shorter than that.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me give you Pee Wee Wanninger. Righty deals. Inside, ball two. Pee Wee Wanninger is listed at 5'7".
Smaller guys, but they have a lot of heart.
Adam, no offense, but please do not nickname me Pee Wee. I would prefer for you not to introduce us as, hi, this is Adam Jackson, joined by Pee Wee Goldberg Strassler. That'd be okay.
Jesse, not a big nickname guy.
Adam Jackson, by the way, stands, what, 6'1"?
Yeah, 6 foot, 6'1".
2-0, Tyler Soderstrom standing 6'2". Taken high from the 6'2 right-hander Orlando Rodriguez. Now, when we say 6'2 on the baseball roster, some guys are 6'2 and some guys aren't. I remember when Noah Syndergaard was a lug nut, a teammate called him over, Sean Nolan, and said, look, we're standing right next to each other. We're both listed at the same height. Who's taller? The pitch. Soderstrom takes ball four inside. Four pitch walk, Orlando Rodriguez. Bases loaded on three straight walks with one out in the home eighth. Catcher Winkle goes out to offer some encouragement for Rodriguez, who has lost the strike zone here. And meanwhile, Cedar Rapids warms up a right-hander, Ryan Shreve, in the pen. Here comes the pitching coach, or one of the two pitching coaches. This is Mark Moriarty, heading out to the mound for the Colonels. Yesterday, Richard Salazar made the pitching mound visits. They generally alternate. Adam, now is it time to talk Midwest League scoreboard?
I apologize.
That's okay.
Into that peewee talk. Great Lakes at home. They're up 3-1 tonight, Jesse, with two runs in the third and one in the fourth, looking for their 26th win. Quad Cities in Beloit, and a good one. Beloit starting to play better baseball. They won 5-6 against the Nuts, 5-5 at Modern Woodman Park. Quad Cities scored all five runs in the fourth inning.
Here's Austin Beck. Check swing, curveball low, went too far, strike one.
South Bend up 3-0 in Dayton. That game delayed in the bottom of the sixth. West Michigan, a shutout 8-0 win at Lake County. And Peoria beat Wisconsin 6-0.
Bases loaded here. Lugnuts down 10-1 in the eighth, one out. The pitch. Beck lays off this curve, bouncing in. One ball, one strike. It is always fascinating for me, Adam, whenever you get the East-West matchups, because Not every team in the East faces every team in the West. Cedar Rapids here out of the West, playing at the team out of the East, the Lansing Lugnuts. Here it comes. Beck swings and dribbles it foul back into the left. One ball, two strikes. So because the majority of each team's games are against the teams in their own division, it is difficult sometimes to understand which division is much more competitive, which division is much more loaded with top-notch players. Here it comes. Beck swings and it's a high fly to left. Taylor backs up. In front of the track, now coming in, he makes the catch. Runner tags from third base, Swift sprints in. Maciel stops at second base, no tag there. Soderstrom holds it first on the Beck sack fly. The Lugnuts trail 10-2.
He just missed that. Just a touch underneath the baseball. Otherwise, that is clobbered out to home run hill. And maybe towards the video board, but just a touch too far underneath of it.
Lawrence Butler now, 2-on-2 out, first pitch, swing and a miss. Let's say Beck does connect with all of it, Adam. That would make this a 10-5 game in the bottom of the eighth inning. Still those Ducks on the pond. Butler batting left. Righty delivers. Outside. Ball and a strike on Lawrence, who is 2-for-3 today. And the Lugnuts only have 4 hits as a team. His batting average slowly rising up to 228 right now. Here's the pitch. He swings and pops it up in the infield. It's the third baseman Encarnacion Strand trotting down the line to make the catch 1/3 of the way toward home plate and fair ground. And the Lugnuts are retired in the bottom of the eighth inning. Lansing does score 1 run on 3 walks and a sack fly. Drew Swift has scored both of the Nuts' runs so far in this game. And we're onward to the ninth, 10-2 Colonels.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel you attract people who tend to be compulsive or abusive?
Do you have money problems because of someone else's drinking?
Are you afraid or embarrassed to bring your friends home?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
More than half of all adults have a family history of alcoholism.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Hi, I'm Marcos Martinez with the Lansing Lugnuts, Group Sales Account Executive. If you're looking to bring a group out this summer to have a blast at the ballpark, give me a call at 517-827-2584. I hope to hear from you, and go Nuts!
This is Ken Korak, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
Welcome to the Patrick McCall Experience. We start up the ninth, 10-2 Cedar Rapids. The first pitch, Ephus, is high. Ball one to Anthony Prado, the leadoff hitter in the Colonel's order, who leads off the ninth. A 1-0. Ephus right down the middle, a called strike. It is the second appearance of the year for the 6'6 first baseman. A break even is bounced out in front of home plate. Catcher Lopez picks it up. A throw down. Out number one. Picture perfect Ephus is right now from McCall. And let's see what Christian Encarnacion Strand can do. Adam, you want to give the scouting report on Pat?
Yeah, Ephus.
First offering. Encarnacion Strand takes a called strike on the inside corner.
There it was. I think we might see it again.
That one had less arc. Hezzy leg kick. And the Ephus is smacked out to center field. Lawrence Butler's on the run. He's there. He makes a stumbling catch. Tumbling over. Two down.
That was a tricky one there. Just kind of fell off the table out there in center field for Butler. Tricky catch, but he made it.
And now here's Seth Gray. There was just some major league history not all that long ago, by the way, with slow pitches. Gray takes a strike called at the letters. And he didn't like that call in the slightest. Angelton Simmons of the Chicago Cubs got a swing and a miss from Kyle Farmer. A ground ball left side, third baseman right picks it up, a throw to first, got him. Three up and three down. 44.9 miles an hour. Kyle Farmer swung and missed the slowest pitch on record to get a whiff in Major League history. No whiffs here for McCall, but a speedy top half of the ninth inning. 1-2-3 go the 1-2-3 batters for the Colonels. And let's move to the bottom of the ninth inning. Let's see if the Lugnuts can get McCall the win. They're down 10-2.
What makes essential workers essential?
We build safe roads for you to drive on.
We harvest fresh produce for your families to eat.
We help you heal when you're sick.
We get you where you need to go.
We keep where you work and live clean and safe.
We make sure you get what you need to make your household work.
You're the essential workers who help our nation run. You're in every city, town, and corner of our country, and you come from all over the globe, and you have essential protections under the law. I'm Marty Walsh. The Wage and Hour Division at the Department of Labor helps ensure you receive the essential protections you deserve. If you have questions about your pay or about your job protection during an illness, visit our website or call 866-4-US-WAGE. That's 866-487-9243. We can provide help in more than 200 languages.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Labor.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jake Darnell, and I'm a new ticket account executive here with the Lansing Lugnuts, and excited to have everybody back in for group events here at the ballpark. For wanting to get a hold of ticket package needs or building an enhanced ballpark magic experience for this season, feel free to get in contact with me, and I'd love to help you get set up. I can put you in place with everything from a small corporate client event to a small little get-together for friends and family. So feel free to get the magic out here. Let's see what this ballpark can really hold, and look to hear from you all soon. You can contact me here at the office at 517-827-2582 and ask for Jake.
Hi, this is Vince Catronio, radio broadcaster for the Oakland Athletics. You're listening to Lansing Lugnuts Baseball. Now let's get back to the ballpark.
And to the bottom of the ninth inning, the Lugnuts down 10-2. Down to their final three outs. Johnny Butler first. The new pitcher is Ryan Shreve, who starts him off with a backdoor breaking ball. A called strike one. Left-handed batter against the right-handed reliever. Ryan Shreve out of Sherman Oaks, California. Set at the chest. Leg kick in the pitch. Running just off the outside corner with a fastball. One ball, one strike. I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler with Adam Jaxa. Aribiel Angeles is on deck, and then Josh Swan right in the hole. 6-7-8 batters in the order. Down by 8 runs. A 1-1 pitch. Breaking ball slides in at the belt. Strike 2 called. Johnny Butler's fly to left, struck out looking, and flied out to right. He's just been a little bit off at home plate since coming back from the injured list. Watch out if he catches fire, though. The 1-2 off the outside corner. When he went on the injured list, he was one of the Lugnuts' most productive hitters. And that is getting on via walks, via base hits, extra base hits, and using the entire field with great speed. 2-2 from Shreve. Slider, stroke, deep right center. Fedco to his right to make the catch out of the gap. One man up and one man out against Shreve. Ryan Shreve, an 8-1-0 ERA in his first four appearances with the Colonels, but, you know, 3 1/3 innings. 3 hits, 4 walks, 5 runs, 3 earned. Here's Aribiel Angeles. The pitch, slider down and away.
You a Saturday Night Live guy?
depends. What are you thinking?
Shreve in the same family as Threave.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Lockbox. The 1-0. A bouncing ball down toward third. Encarnacion Strand comes in. Loves, juggles, lost it. And Angeles is on. Official scorer deliberates and rules error on Encarnacion Strand. Three. Celebrity Jeopardy, right?
That's right. Let's see what you came up with. Stunning.
Was that Sean Connery?
Yes.
Josh Monrad is 0 for 3. 0 for 3, yeah. Shreve throws. A ground ball weakly struck past the mound. Shortstop Javier picks it up, steps on second, throws to first. Double play. This ball game is over. Three outs in the bottom of the ninth. And your final score. The Cedar Rapids Colonels 10, the Lansing Lugnuts 2. Each team has now won a game in the series. Colonels improve to 30-17. Lugnuts fall to 18-29, Adam.
Well, an impressive win tonight, in all seriousness, by the Colonels. They got beat up yesterday, and there's a reason they're one of the best teams in this league because they can pitch it, and they show that they could swing it tonight as well. 10 runs on 11 hits they got after Osvaldo Barrios early with 3 runs in the first, 3 more in the third, and really never looked back from there.
Coming up next, tomorrow, lefty Mac Laudner gets the ball against the Colonels' John Stankiewicz, 7:05 p.m., the first pitch on a Labatt Blue Thursday, and a tribute to Keanu Reeves night. Not Keanu Threave. So that's what's coming up tomorrow as this series rolls on, a homestand that will stretch around through Sunday here from Lansing, Michigan, between the Lugnuts and the Colonels. 7:05 p.m. start times tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday is at 1:05 p.m. Final totals today, 10 runs, 11 hits, and 1 error for the Colonels in the win, 2 runs, 4 hits, and 2 errors for the Lugnuts in defeat. Adam, any final thoughts?
You tip your cap tonight to the Colonels, but hopefully the Lugnuts can come back stronger tomorrow. They showed a really good performance yesterday, and you know the crowd is going to be jumping tomorrow with it being a Thirsty Thursday, so hopefully the Nuts can find a way back in the win column.
Thirsty Thursday crowds do generally tend to bring some energy, don't they?
They sure do, and that's why we love the Lansing community. They come out real, real well for Thursday nights.
Till tomorrow, then. For Adam Jaxa, I'm Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. We thank you so much for tuning in and keeping us company. Your final score, once again, the Cedar Rapids Colonels 10, the Lansing Lugnuts 2. Good night from Jackson Field in Michigan State Capitol. This has been Lugnuts Baseball.